tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 26, 1996.
From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, as the case may be, across all these many time zones, stretching from Hawaii and the Tahitian Islands in the west and actually beyond, east all the way across this great nation to the Caribbean, to the U.S. Virgin Islands, south well into South America, north to the pole via the internet worldwide. This is Coast to Coast AM. Top of the morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. Lots to talk about. We'll get underway in just one very short moment. I would like to mention again two items regarding my webpage, internet webpage. One, yesterday when we got the Hoagland photographs up, we got them up wrong. And so they came out kind of scrambled and all wrong. And that was due to some translation errors in the photographs. So they're up there now. And I think you'll find them intriguing. I particularly recommend the Zond photographs, the Russian photographs. Take a good look and see what you think. It's very difficult to look at photographs like that and know exactly what you're seeing. Because, of course, we have no reference here on Earth for what we're seeing there. Nevertheless, take a good look at the Zond photographs. They are now up there for download in the proper format. We had them all messed up last night. Sorry about that. So that's all set. Also, WPSL in Port St. Lucie, Florida, now has their high-quality, high-speed line in. So I think you'll notice a vast improvement listening to WPSL Internet audio now, real audio on the Internet. Same for WOAI. It's quite clear. And I wanted to pass on a schedule. I've been getting a lot of requests. WOAI in San Antonio carries Dreamland. That means it's carried on the Internet. And the time is 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. on Monday morning. 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. Monday morning on WOAI. So if you want to catch a repeat of Dreamland anywhere in the world, you can do that. 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. Central Time on the WOAI feed in San Antonio, Tech, or from San Antonio. So really, we've got two real audio feeds up there right now, WOAI and WPSL, with their new improved audio, and it does sound very, very good. I just took a listen. So to get to my webpage, by the way, I've got a whole bunch of photographs from the Portland book signing back. Even got a photograph of signing a bald guy's head. I had no idea my wife snapped a photograph of that, but she did, and it came out very well. So we'll upload that as well as some of the crowd photos. And so forth and so on. We'll do that in the next day or so. I'm in the middle of scanning them in. My webpage address, for those of you that would like to access it, is www.artbell.com. Once again, www.artbell.com. It's that easy. Politics first tonight. Yes, I have something on the so-called free men in Montana. The delegates needed to win 996. The delegates, as of tonight, Dole 1,193, Buchanan 109, Keyes 6, uncommitted 16, others 79. The primaries Tuesday in California, Nevada, Washington. All have gone to Dole, predictably. Dole himself finally saying, quote, the battle is over. I am the nominee. He is. As a matter of fact, Bill Clinton carried all three states, California, Nevada, and Washington, in 1992. So, it's over. Dole is the nominee. Buchanan publicly saying he's going all the way to San Diego, and I'm sure he will, but it's pretty much over. He's going to have a big strategy meeting Thursday, Buchanan is. So They may be making some decisions. We'll see. One diehard Republican interviewed on NBC in San Diego, I thought, said it rather well. And I know it's not flashy, but it's what I believe in. He said, with regard to politics, balance. And the way he put it is the following, quote, look, I want to surf in pollution-free water and still be able to make a living. And I don't think the two should be mutually exclusive. And I agree with that. It's kind of where I am. Nobody in their right mind, on the right or left, wants dirty air hanging over their city. Nobody in their right mind wants dirty water. You don't want, it's said that animals never defecate in the same spot they eat. And I believe that's true of human beings too, or certainly ought to be. So, in most things, I seek balance also. Now, if that puts you in the boring middle, then so be it. I guess I am. But I want both. In other words, we as Americans, it seems to me, ought to be able to have jobs. We ought to be able to earn a living, make our way in the world, and at the same time, hope for and realize relatively clean air, some natural lands left for us to roam and for our children. In other words, I am an environmentalist. Not crazed, but I'm an environmentalist. And at the same time, I want to have jobs. I want to be able to make a living. That's a kind of a political balance that I find myself in. Ross Perot, by the way, commenting on the Republican GOP primaries, called them, quoting, beyond sick. That's what Ross said. Beyond sick. Now, what do you suppose he meant by that? That Dole won? That Buchanan did not do as well as he should have? In Mr. Perot's eyes, what does he mean by beyond sick? The negative advertising, perhaps? I don't know. Looks like Ross Perot is going to run. We'll be right back. All right, leaving political news. Cancer. There's quite a bit of news today about cancer. They're calling it an epidemic of breast cancer, and citing the following figures. With regard to the detection of early cancer, in 1983, there were 4,900 cases in America. In 1992, there were 23,000. That is an increase of 550%. A 550% increase? Well, surely a good portion of it could be attributed to early detection. Generally, it leads to either a mastectomy or a lumpectomy, one of the two. But those are startling figures, a 550% increase. And it goes together rather well, or rather, in a rather worrisome way, with the men's cancer stats. Now, we've had this information for some time. Since World War II, cancer of all kinds in men, not related to cigarette smoking, has increased 300% for absolutely no scientifically explainable reason. So what have we got? Women's breast cancer up 550%. Men's cancer, all areas, up 300%. Does anybody have a guess or a clue with regard to the cause? The second running story on Reuters this morning is militants hole up in Montana. Members of a militant anti-government group are holed up in a remote farmhouse in eastern Montana, refusing to surrender to federal authorities. Members of the so-called free men have been named in a federal indictment accusing them of using phony money orders and checks and threatening federal officials. The group's leaders, Leroy Switzer, I believe it is, 57, Daniel Peterson Jr., 53, disrupted their arraignment at a Billings courthouse Tuesday, forcing federal magistrate to postpone the whole thing. Now, I think we're going to take a good bite out of this topic tonight. And I've got a letter that I'm going to read you. This letter, when I read it, it will be obvious to you. It is from the free men or from supporters of the free men in Montana. It's entitled, Free Men of Montana Under Assault Need Help. We predicted last year that Janet Reno was going to attack the militia of Montana. We even gave you the date, Saturday, March 25th, 1995. We blew it. We missed it by 1 year, exactly. And I'm trying to recall who it was who made that prediction. And it's somebody involved in the group, but I can't recall who, so I'm assuming this fax is from that same group. At any rate, it details their side of the story. And I thought I would read it to you so that we might discuss what's going on and what you think about it. And kind of go behind the headlines a little bit. Here we go. Today, March 25th, 1996, Special Forces units of the U.S. Army made a sweep or roundup of the free men of Montana. The free men have been a thorn in the side of Janet Reno since she became Attorney General. She does not like free men. She does not like men, period, especially free ones. Janet Reno and the Army of the United States, in clear violation of the Posse Comitatus Act, today assaulted the compound of the free men of Montana. The free men have been putting together common law courts and filing commercial suits and liens against county, state, and federal officials and judges with some success when acts by government officials violate the rights of free men. The free men have rightly thrown away their driver's licenses. Sovereign citizens of free states do not have to ask the state for permission or pay a fee for the right to move about in the public domain or to freely carry firearms. Free men rightly disobey the unconstitutional and illegal orders of the IRS. No person is obligated to pay a tax on wages, tips, and salaries to the federal government. Janet Reno has vowed to assault and arrest free men and is now carrying out her pledge in violation of the U.S. Constitution. In a live televised interview on C-SPAN in 1993 after she ordered the slaughter of the Branch Davidians, Janet the Buck Stops Here Reno was asked by a reporter, what can be done to prevent tragedies like Waco in the future? The Attorney General of the United States of America, Janet Reno, said, quote, next time we will not invite the media, end quote. That was her solution to prevent the slaughter of innocent children. Her solution is simply not to invite the media. That way the truth will never be told. Guess what? She did not invite the media to Jordan, Montana. As of tonight, 10 free men are not free, but are holed up in a building in Jordan, Montana, about 130 miles east of Lewiston, and under assault by Janet Reno, the United States Army, and the fascist, socialist, totalitarian government of the United States. The United States Army is being used illegally by Janet Reno. Congress needs to move immediately to impeach President Bill Clinton and Attorney General Janet Reno for violations of their oath of office. So there you have it, of the argument. They've thrown away their driver's licenses. They've refused to pay and regard as unconstitutional income tax of any kind. They make their own laws. They claim their own government within the American government or land. And they claim they are sovereign within their own country. They actually claim that they have a country. So there you've got it laid out on their side. The other side would obviously be that if everybody were to do this, we would have anarchy. If everybody threw away or regarded as unnecessary their driver's licenses, the slaughter that goes on our highway clearly would be horrible. As bad as the system may be right now, imagine everybody throwing away or not even bothering to get a driver's license. No vision test, no ability test to drive, just get in a car and go. Not going to pay income tax. They have decided that income tax is not legal. And that on wages, tips, income of any sort whatsoever, they are not bound constitutionally or legally to pay any kind of tax, and they're not going to do it. So they are manifestly rejecting everything that represents the U.S. government and local governments, and they are suggesting we are a government unto ourselves. So, I wonder how you feel about that. Is that something that you support? Do you feel the way the free men feel? You rally behind them and say, "Yes, sirree, sir. It's about time somebody stood up to this government. It's about time somebody told the IRS to take their tax and jam it. It's about time somebody realized you don't need a driver's license or anything like that to move around on the streets." And, of course, there have been allegations of threats made against the lives of people in the justice system and so forth in Montana. So obviously, I would enjoy hearing from people in Montana. We have complete coverage across the state of Montana. And I'd like to know what people think. I'd like to know what you think about it. And I wanted to wait until I had what I consider to be a representative sampling of what it is the free men really feel. And that's what I think this letter fairly represents. So I thought I'd let you think about that a little bit and digest that letter and sort of give me a little feedback on how you feel about it. And by the way, I do understand, as a side note, there are women, there are children, according to reports I've heard, a hold up with these so-called free men. In other words, there are apparently free women and free children there as well. I sense we're probably going to talk about the free men a little bit. I've got a couple of other items, and then we will launch, good word these days, into two-way talk radio, unscreened, coming next.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
Said some unkind things about AT&T, the Bell Company. You wouldn't think I would with my last name, would you, in the past? I have said a few unkind things, but I must say, I want to thank the people at AT&T No, we don't have it yet. They're moving mountains and oceans, literally, to get us an international 800 line, and we think they just might be able to do it. They're fooling around with all kinds of ideas like gateway cities and all kinds of things that I don't understand, and their software people and AT&T's hardware people are hard at work trying to figure out a way to give us a true international 800 line. And so I want to publicly thank them for all the work they're doing. They really are going above and beyond in the attempt to create something that, has never been. They're doing something entirely new, and they're trying to do it for us. So I think they deserve our thanks. So thank you. Now, I'm tracking a number of other stories, and this is one of them. Hey, Art, there was a woman, Dottie, her name was, from Seattle. She called you up a few months ago, said something about finding a strange goo-like substance all over her yard, house, and porch. You and the audience speculated with her from natural to supernatural causes. It was on the Discovery Channel tonight. She was on Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious Universe. She took that unknown substance to a lab to have it analyzed. The only thing the scientists could do was rule out animal feces. In other words, they don't know what it is. So you may recall that woman said it was going to be on the Discovery Channel, and so it was tonight. One other item that I'm tracking, and I don't fully understand, I taped something called Paranormal Borderline, which ran at 9 o'clock on UPN, and they had an awful lot of information on there about UFOs, abduction victims, that sort of thing, implants. And in a lot of ways, it vindicated what Bud Hopkins and John Mack have been saying, and Nova should be apologizing for. I had thought, and maybe I'm wrong, I had thought that Gordon Michael Scallion was due to be on Paranormal Borderline. I taped it, and they had kind of a headline of what they were doing during the program. And even though I've got it on tape and I didn't get to watch all of it, I noticed nothing about Gordon Michael Scallion. Maybe I've got the date wrong. I thought it was supposed to be the 26th. Or maybe they did have him on during one of those segments that I did not get a chance to see. So there you've got it. Then two other quick things. Art, our company has a foundation that funds cancer research. The high incidence of present-day cancer is caused by a lifelong diet heavy on animal fat, synthetic substances in food, and the lack of fresh and raw fruits and vegetables. Pollution does play a role, but what we eat is the main cause. And then finally, here's kind of a weird one for you. Art, what if God was actually a bad guy? I'd speculate that he or she might create a world much like the one we live in. How could this world be governed by an all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-good God? Perhaps God, in his old age, is suffering from dementia and is no longer capable of keeping us in line. It's time to call in Dr. Jack to finish the job. Oh, jeez. Then mankind would be free of religion's tyranny and could focus its efforts on improving human welfare. Say hello to Comet for me, Rich in Bellingham. There's another story there. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
I wanted to comment. Write down the date and the program time and everything, and I also taped it, and there was nothing from Gordon Michael on it.
That's the way I got it, so I don't know what's going on. Maybe they shifted the date that he's going to be on. I will contact the Matrix Institute in the morning and see what they know.
Yeah, probably a quick program changer. Also, did you happen to see or catch anything of Charlie Rose's show with George Carlin?
No.
It was amusing because, or interesting, I should say, because George Carlin spoke quite in detail about him feeling that something is definitely going on, that the world is, as he said, heading quickly towards the drain.
Really?
And basically, he was explaining the quickening without using the terms.
Uh-huh.
And from George Carlin, I thought that was real interesting.
Very interesting.
Okay, have a good night, Art.
Thank you very much. Yes, very interesting. Mr. Carlin, of course, has always derived his comedy from carefully observing everyday life and people. And you will note that much of his comedy routine is derived from the very simple things that we do in life, and always has. I've been a Carlin fan for many, many years. And so it does not surprise me that in his general observations, he's beginning to observe the same thing I've been observing for some time. Doesn't surprise me at all. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, I'm calling from Pahrump.
From where?
From Pahrump.
Pahrump. Pahrump? Here in town?
I'm in town.
All right.
And I listen to your program.
Very good.
Every night. What I was going to ask you, have you heard any more about the sovereignty of Texas?
Well, I know there is a movement in Texas, yes.
Right.
Have I heard any more about its progress? No.
Right.
No. I know it's continuing, and they have things are signing in Texas and so forth and so on.
But it's been a media blackout, apparently.
And there is, of course, a provision in the Constitution of the State of Texas that allows it to get out of the Union, I guess, under some circumstances.
Right, right, which happened about 160 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, I'm just curious if you had anything more on it.
Good to hear from you here in town.
I enjoy your program.
Take care, my friend. A call from right here in Pahrump, Nevada. Cool. What are the odds of that? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Mr. Bell. How are you?
Fine. Where are you?
This is Stephen from Galveston, Texas.
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, I just want to call and say hi. I've been to your fair city before. I had a great time out there. I went out to the chicken ranch one night.
Oh, you did?
Oh, I sure did. Yeah, you got a great town. Yeah, you know, there's a beautiful view coming out on the highway.
Oh, yes.
Coming, and when you hit Vegas, you go over that last rise.
Last hill, and you look down over the valley, and it's covered beautiful. In green, and there's a lot of farming here.
Beautiful, yeah. That's how I found Pahrump. I drove and drove and drove, and I thought I was lost. I thought I'd pass it up. And I looked over to my left, and there was the green. I saw the farms, and that.
There it was, the Ponderosa, the desert Ponderosa.
In the desert.
Yes, sir.
Well, Mr. Bell, I was wondering, if I'm being paranoid, or is it kind of unusual that somebody just, I don't know what their circumstances were, but somebody just thought up to flood the Grand Canyon and did it, or did they have studies to really consider the ramifications on either end of it, or?
Do you want a straight answer?
Yes, sir.
You're paranoid.
Am I?
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with the quickening or anything?
No, I'm kidding with you. I don't think so. It is ostensibly a scientific experiment to redeposit sediment along the Colorado River banks, going through the Grand Canyon and further on down, to restore ecologically what has been lost by the damming. So I don't know. I don't at this point have a problem with it. I don't see any problem with it.
Me either. I was just curious because I didn't hear anything about it prior to it, and all of a sudden it's on the news. It's like somebody just thought it up and did it.
There you are. All right, sir. Thank you. That takes me back to what I said a little earlier. I think politically I'm kind of balanced. In other words, I am and always have been, despite what some would allege, I've been an ecologist. I believe in watching our ecology. We live here. This is our Earth. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that we should not foul the same place we live in. On the other hand, we shouldn't go nuts and worship the Earth either. So somewhere between worshiping the Earth and its resources and squandering them and strip mining and doing things to Earth that hurt it, somewhere in the middle there's a balance, and that's where I am. I'm not anti-ecology, nor am I crazily pro-ecology. I'm just, I'm kind of in the middle, and I think that's where more people than not really are. And because I call myself a conservative, and I am conservative, certainly economically, I'm not blind to other issues, and the ecology is one of those. I'm watching carefully, and I hope you are, too. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Yes, sir. Turn your radio off, please.
Okay. Get the radio off.
Yes, get that radio off. Okay, if the radio isn't turned off, I'm...
Thanks.
Okay.
Sorry, this is Bill out in Van Nuys.
Yes, Bill, hi.
Oh, just I had a couple comments on the militia.
Yes, sir.
There's some, you know, they're not just paranoid or getting this stuff out of thin air. Things that sort of get on my nerves, for example, Reader's Digest has a column every month called That's Outrageous.
Yes.
A couple months ago, they had an incident in Florida where this old retired Cuban man played cards every weekend, nickel and dime poker with his buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And he was raided by the cops and arrested for having an illegal gambling establishment, and they confiscated his house. And there was one out here in California, you might have, this got some publicity, it was a few years ago, it was a millionaire, lived by himself out in Malibu.
Yeah, I know all about that one.
And there's thousands of those things.
Well, there are not.
And well, I believe there are. If you do a legal search on it, you'll find there's thousands of property seizures every year.
Oh, seizures, yes.
On very minor pretexts.
But there are not thousands of incidences where somebody's shot by the feds.
No, not
you,
shot.
You referenced the Malibu situation, sir.
Right, that's one that was outrageous. But right. I think it's outrageous to confiscate an old man's house.
Right,
too.
I do, too. So let us discuss the free men of Montana.
Well, what I'm saying is it's those kind of incidents that breed the free men of Montana. The government is not innocent in this.
No, it is not.
And that's all my point. I don't agree with them. I think they're too extreme. But by the same token, I can see what they're responding to. It isn't that they're just responding to thin air.
That's fair. Is it a circumstance that is going to spiral out of control, I guess, is the question. In other words, I've said for a long time that the government, the ATF, the IRS, even the FBI, to a lesser degree, have got some hot dogs in their organization that are doing the kinds of things you talked about.
Right.
And that are jumping the gun, pun intended.
Yes.
So you've
and
got
I think
that
it's healthy for us to try to stop that. That's what the whole Bill of Rights is about. It's to try to put brakes on the cops so they don't get too fascistic.
Uh-huh. But on the other hand, it seems to me, first judgment, you know, reading, for example, this letter from the Freeman.
Right. As I say, I feel they're too extreme, but I could see
so
why.
So then if you were the law enforcement officer in right. charge of dealing with the Freeman, what would you do?
Well, it depends on what they actually did. If they actually really did threaten someone's life, that's breaking a law.
Well, that's true.
Broke a law, then they should be arrested.
Okay. There is that allegation or
right.
that charge, actually, and there is evidence that may have occurred.
Right.
But let us discuss the other aspects of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing away driver's licenses.
Right.
Printing up their own license plates. They're refusing to pay any income tax on tips, wages, or earned income of any sort, that sort of thing. How would you treat that?
Well, I'd treat it by normal laws. If they're breaking laws, then they'd have to go to court and fight that in court. If they think it's illegal to have a driver's license, they should be able to prove that in court.
Well, they will not. They will not allow any service to them. In other words... law enforcement officers can't go in without fear of getting shot.
Well, that's, as I say, I'm not anywhere near as extreme as they are. I think they should handle those things by voting and in courts of law, et cetera.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. And they are, in effect, declaring Justice Montana, J-U-S-T-U-S, I believe they spell it, to be a sovereign place. To be a sovereign place. And so I thought we should discuss the real details of this case and whether you two feel they are too extreme, how you would deal with them if you were in charge of having to deal with them, what you would do, what should be done, and how we avoid a catastrophic collision here. Anything could happen here. They could peacefully give up, fight it out in court on the one side, or there could be other militias that will head in to help them out, ostensibly, make a stand against the federal government. Or there could be another Waco. As we discussed the Branch Davidians, and what they believed in, and why they took their stand and what they did, so we can now discuss the freemen and what they stand for, and whether we support what they're doing or whether they are over the edge. Now, west of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art.
Hi.
This is Ed out of Phoenix.
Hi, Ed.
You're on an hour delay here, so I don't know if you're still discussing the freemen or not.
Yes, I am.
All right. One thing I want to make a point of real quick, and that is these guys are holed up there not because they threw away their driver license or anything like that, but apparently they've been writing checks on non-existent bank accounts out of a couple of banks and issuing phony money orders.
Yeah, there is that. There is that, yes.
That's what tripped this.
Well, I'm sure it did. But also tripping it eventually would be no driver's licenses. I mean, you just can't drive down the street with a license plate that you print up or paint on.
Oh, absolutely.
And or not paying any tax. Now, that might not get you right away, but eventually it will.
Oh, it would. But, I mean, these guys here, they've been asking for a while. I am involved with a couple militias as a trainer and such. And I've been on the phone all night talking to them, and apparently these guys are on the far edge of the spectrum.
I could not agree more.
And they don't, you know, they don't represent the mainstream of what's now the militia movement.
I agree with that as well.
You know,
the question is, though, you see, if it comes down to violence, which it may, will the other militias stand by and say, look?
The militia
hands
Montana
off.
Might, the Michigan militia might, but most of the other militias won't, I know for a fact, because at least two of them have sent out notice and alerts their people to stay clear of it.
So you're saying Montana might come to their aid?
They could, yeah. The militia of Montana is pretty much on that end of the spectrum, too.
And Michigan?
I don't know. Since they got rid of South Wall and that other yo-yo, they've been kind of moving back towards the normal people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's highly unlikely, unless
it is perceived.
Perceived that it is just an all-out assault.
The government's going to go in and slaughter them or something,
at least
yes.
Somebody sent out a broadcast back tonight that there was a general roundup of all militia leaders, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, those are going out all the time.
And it's pure nonsense because I talked to my brother, that was the militia leaders, and he said,
well, that's what I mean about feeding the paranoia.
Well, that's what I call this. Let's not feed the paranoia. Let's make sure people understand.
I agree. Thank
These
you
guys
very.
Apparently, are criminal. So.
Thank you very much for the call. Well, you know, criminal is an interesting word. I'm sure that if you talk to somebody from or associated with the freemen, they would certainly say the real criminal is the U.S. government. In fact, that is what they're saying here. So it depends on your perspective, but there is a kind of a middle-of-the-road militia opinion. Now, I also have no information to indicate that even the militia of Montana is prepared to go to the aid of the freemen. I've not heard that. So I am not dispensing that as information to you. That was just that caller's rumination on the subject. It is surely an interesting topic, though. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, I'm calling from... This is Steve from, you know, South Dakota.
Yes, sir.
I called you the other night and wanted to know when you were going to have, you know, Richard Hoagland on again.
Well, I just had him on.
When?
Are you kidding? I've had Richard on probably 3 or 4 times in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, yes, I realize that, but I mean, in the future, when are you going to have him on again?
I don't know. I'll let you know.
Okay, that would be good. I had a friend of mine punch up the press conference on his computer. He's going to give me some information on that press conference.
Well, you might have him get some photographs as well.
That's what I'm interested in. I saw John Holliman from CNN. He came on CNN last night about 2:30 in the morning. And he was going to have a live event with the space shuttle that has just joined up with the
Mir.
With the Mir. And I thought to myself, wow, he's going to, you know, break some news that you know, Richard Hoagland's put on here. I thought, oh boy, here we go, and then he's, you know, but I thought that was sort of anticlimactic because I thought for sure that maybe he had some news here.
All right, sir, I've got to run. Thank you very much for the call. Coming to the news next, we'll be right back.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 26, 1996.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be here. We're talking about the free men in Montana for the most part and what's going on in Montana right now near Billings. And I've got a fax here from Troy in Billings, and he says, subject, free men are free from the truth. Your letter from the Freeman supporters is total BS. First, there are no special forces troops in the area. None in the state, far as I know. Second, U.S. Army troops are not in the area, nor are they being used against these people in Jordan. Local police plus FBI only. Third, there are 10 Freemen. It's a little hard to read. Are not being held captive against their will. They've been holed up there in self-imposed isolation on their buddy's farm for several months. There are no women or children, to my knowledge. Now, I heard a report otherwise earlier today on CNN, so that one's a little foggy. They totally disrupted the federal court today. That is certainly true, to the degree that the whole thing had to be rescheduled. And I in no way represent the information in this letter as accurate, merely as a letter from supporters. And the reason I read it is to have a discussion with you, the American people, about what it is they believe and why they're in trouble right now. Now, there have been allegations of all kinds of things that are violations of the law. Phony money orders, checks, threatening federal officials, that sort of thing. But beyond that, these so-called free men have certain beliefs that I thought it worthy of discussing with you. And we may open the line for Montana. There's nothing like getting information from the source. So I may do that. Open a special line for people just in Montana. But I'm going to read you this letter again. And bear in mind that what you're hearing is either from the Freemen or their supporters, obviously so as you listen to it. It's entitled, Freemen of Montana Under Assault, Need Help. We predicted last year that Janet Reno was going to attack the militia of Montana. We even gave you the date, Saturday, March 25th, 1995. We blew it. We missed it by 1 year exactly. Well, now, let me stop here for a second and say that it was my understanding that some, one or several of the free men actually issued arrest warrants, believe it or not, for people in the militia of Montana. So I would assume, and maybe I should not, that there is no love lost between the two groups, but that could be incorrect. Anyway, continuing with the letter, today, March 25th, 1996, Special Forces units of the U.S. Army made a sweep or roundup of the free men of Montana. The free men have been a thorn in the side of Janet Reno since she became Attorney General. She does not like free men. She does not like men, period, especially free ones. Janet Reno and the Army of the U.S., in clear violation of the Posse Comitatus Act, today assaulted the compound of the free men of Montana. The free men have been putting together common law courts and filing commercial suits and liens against county, state, and federal officials and judges with some success when acts by government officials violate the rights of free men. The free men have rightly thrown away their driver's licenses. Rightly, he says. Sovereign citizens of free states don't have to ask the state for permission or pay a fee for the right to move about in the public domain or to freely carry firearms. Free men rightly disobey the unconstitutional and illegal orders of the IRS. No person is obligated to pay a tax on wages, tips, and salaries to the federal government. Janet Reno has vowed to assault and arrest free men and is now carrying out her pledge in violation of the U.S. Constitution. In a live televised interview on C-SPAN in 93 after the ordered slaughter of the Branch Davidians, Janet, the buck stops here. Reno was asked by a reporter what can be done to prevent tragedies like Waco in the future. The Attorney General of the U.S., Janet Reno, said, next time we will not invite the media. That was her solution to prevent slaughter of innocent children, civilians rather. Her solution is simply not to invite the media. That way the truth will never be told. Guess what? She did not invite the media to Jordan, Montana. As of tonight, 10 free men are not free, but are holed up in a building in Jordan, Montana, about 130 miles east of Lewiston, and are under assault by Janet Reno, the U.S. Army, and the fascist, socialist, totalitarian government of the U.S. The U.S. Army is now being used illegally by Janet Reno. Congress needs to move immediately to impeach the president and Janet Reno for violations of their oath of office. So, what you just heard, a great portion of it may be total BS, as Troy says. And, in fact, I read it so that you could hear what they are saying, not so that you might know the truth, because I don't know what the truth is. There were rumors that the U.S. Army was there. I happen not to believe it. That doesn't mean it's not true. I happen not to believe it. I think that Troy has it right, and it's local law enforcement and the FBI. Beyond that, a discussion of what the free men apparently believe might be in order. Hi, Art, unless my memory fails me, I seem to remember that the free men group were the ones that issued a warrant for the arrest of the head of the Montana militia. If such is the case, why is the government referring to the free men group as a militia, when there seems to be only about a dozen people, 10 actually, free men involved in the most recent confrontation? Well, exactly right, and as far as I know, they are not a militia. They are, I don't know, what would you call them? Militants, I guess? Anti-government militants? I don't believe they're a militia. Then this, hi Art, been out of the country for a week. Could you please tell me what happened at the Hoagland press conference? I'm dying to find out. Pete, K-E-X. Well, Pete, log on to my webpage. I just can't go into all of that right now. There are the minutes of the press conference up there. Several articles written in national publications are up there. Photographs, now corrected from yesterday, are up there. Yesterday we got the photographs up, but they were not right, and there was a problem in the translation of them. Tonight they're up there, and I recommend you go get the Zond Russian photographs on my webpage. Take a good look and let me know what you think. They are particularly interesting. So if you want to go to my webpage, you can do so. And by the way, WOAI and WPSL in Port St. Lucie are both feeding high-quality, real audio to the Internet. You can catch the show up there. It's www.artbell.com. And from there, just look down and you'll be able to make a jump to the webpage for real audio. So there you've got it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Oh, great. I'm fantastic. I got through so quickly. Well, first of all, speaking, I want to address the income tax issue with Senate a single sentence from Senate Report number 1708.
All right. Where are you, sir?
Oh, I'm sorry. Chris from Seminole, Florida.
Okay.
And this is from 1966, and this is on the very second page. This is a quote. Quote, the assessment is made when the unpaid tax liability is entered on the appropriate records of the Internal Revenue Service, dash, which occurs in the case of a taxpayer who voluntarily shows the tax liability on his return shortly after the time the return is filed, period, end quote.
Yes.
So that shows, and many other Supreme Court precedents show, that once you enter or once you submit a 1040 form under oath, you're stating that you're volunteering and declaring that you're making an income. And luckily, I've never done that, so I don't have anything to fear. And anybody else who has.
Wait a minute. You've never paid tax?
Not income tax.
Remarkable. How do you avoid that?
I simply don't pay. It's entirely voluntary, and there's...
Wait a minute.
I can give you a lot.
Oh, slow down, sir. Do you work for yourself?
No. Well, yes, I... when you say you work for yourself, that means you... Or that implies that you're self-employed.
Well, I'll make it very clear to you. Do you get 1099 forms?
No.
No.
I don't participate in Social Security. That's another way they get you in.
Uh-huh. In what manner are you paid?
Oh, like I was saying, it's semantics. I do work on my own behalf, but I don't work as myself or for myself. That implies something, you know, different, that I'm both the employer and the employee, which would, you know, make the...
Well, sir, look, do you get a paycheck?
No.
You don't get a paycheck?
No, but I sell suppressed information on computer, and which is also free on my BBS, but I'm not going to go into that. But if I could address some other things about Schweitzer, some of the other things that have been reported.
No, we'll have to hold it there. Thank you. I'm unclear, frankly, about how you do what you do. I've been long familiar with the contention by many that income tax is voluntary. As far as I know, it is in fact not voluntary. And, in fact, you must pay it. Now, the freemen, that is one contention of the freemen that I take issue with. We may argue about how our tax dollars are wasted, or how there is fraud in the spending of our tax dollars, and NBC regularly runs a series called The Fleecing of America, and I certainly agree that a lot of it is wasted. However, as a citizen of this state and this country, I feel an obligation to pay tax. I believe I have a legal obligation to pay tax. And I believe there is a legitimate reason to be collecting taxes. This argument is aside from the argument about what's done with the money. And I don't believe that my unhappiness, at least now, with the way it's being spent, justifies my saying that's it. I'm not participating in this fraudulent thing. I drive on the highways. I have these streets that are paved. I use the various facilities to me and rights afforded to me as a citizen of this country. But I refuse to participate in paying for any of it. I don't feel that way. And I don't see the justification for anybody feeling that way. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello, Art. This is John from Carson City.
Hello, John.
I had an idea about the release of water from the dam.
Yes.
And about the quickening. Could it have anything to do with the rotation of the earth? Maybe they're concerned about that.
There are people who have said that dams actually have affected, either in speeding up or slowing down, the rotation of Earth. And I don't know whether that could be way behind what they're doing. I don't think so. I rather accept the explanation we've been given. That is, that they want to renew the silt and the natural course of events in the Grand Canyon. It makes sense.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I don't know, with the quickening and everything else, I just started putting two and two together on the way to work tonight. Thought I'd call.
Well, I'm glad you did. Thank you very much. There are people who have been speculating and talking about the slowing of the Earth's rotation, or the quickening of it, because of dams. But I think that I find their explanation for the release to be in order. And I hope it works. I hope the Grand Canyon riverbank is renewed, and that it helps the wildlife and all the rest of it. So I guess I'm not looking beyond what seems to be the obvious or trying to here. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Eric. Pete in Portland.
Hello.
Well, I've got my big pickle jar. I hope you're taking care of my relic.
Oh, yes.
This morning on the Don Imus show, George Carlin was one of the guests, and he was saying essentially the same thing he said on the Charlie Rose show, and I was
yes.
pretty pretty surprised. I thought maybe he's an Art Bell fan or just particularly astute.
Well, I think he's particularly astute.
Yeah.
Whether he listens to the program or not, I have no way of knowing, Pete, but it has been suggested to me that he is now saying roughly what I've been saying for a long time. And I think it's because he studies very carefully human behavior.
Yeah.
And that's how he comes up with all of his comedy routines. And maybe as he's been studying human behavior more recently, he hasn't found much to laugh about.
That could be one of the problems. Do you ever get the Jim Lehrer News Hour from PBS?
Of course.
Did you see tonight?
No.
Okay, they had a certain Dr. Laura Manuelides of the Yale Medical School discussing her specialty, neurological diseases. In other words, Creutzfeldt-Jakob syndrome.
Yes.
And how there's a possible link with mad cow disease. And she let off a bombshell tonight.
What was that?
Well, she was comparing how it was with how it resembles Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's is a genetic weakness,
mm-hmm.
and CJD is an infectious agent that produces like a similar effect.
That's correct, yes.
Now, she said that, she mentioned that in Slovakia, which is part of what used to be Czechoslovakia, there was a focus, in other words, a small outbreak of CJD infection in which cats were infected.
Yes. Yes, I also saw that. Thank you very much. Latest on that, British Prime Minister John Major says he now will consider slaughtering some of Britain's cattle to ease fears of mad cow disease. So I knew he'd be eating those words. British officials had previously ruled out the idea, saying it was unnecessary. But an influential farmers union sent the government a letter, called on it to restore public confidence in beef by taking steps to ensure that older cows do not enter the human food chain. In Brussels Tuesday, European Union veterinary officials reaffirmed their call for a ban on British beef exports. So I told you, the Prime Minister there would be eating his words, and it looks like he's already begun the meal. And once again tonight, Vidian is up at the moment. If you want to check in, you're welcome to. Lately, I have taken to turning Vidian on, not 24 hours a day, but generally just when I'm on the air. Because this, you know, this is an absolutely incredible, incredible technology, but I felt a little like a goldfish in a bowl, you know, so I don't leave it up 24 hours a day. It allows people to look in effect, on my life, and I am astounded by how much they can see. I mean, I have people looking right into my other room, beneath my pool table, watching my cats fight. I get reports of all kinds of things. It's really eerie. Very eerie. So I've taken to putting this up, just during my show because, you know, that my studio here is part of my home. And I found that I had to be too careful about wandering about in the house, if you follow me, particularly getting up and all of that. So I've taken to just putting Vidian up during the times that I'm on the air. I hope you understand. Don't mind having it there so you can sit and watch me do the program. I enjoy that. Chris in Memphis is presently on watching me. So I very much enjoy it, but during other times of the day, for reasons of privacy, as the British would say, a bit of privacy, why we've extinguished Vidian during the day. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
My name's Tim. I'm from Ligonier, Indiana.
Hi, Tim.
I just wanted to call in, and I felt really compelled to make a comment about the militia thing.
Yes, sir. Now, I'm not sure that's fair. I'm not sure it's the militia thing. These are 10 men calling themselves the Free Men. They are not connected, as far as I know, to the militia of Montana, which, in fact, has had some grievance with them or them with the militia one way or the other. So I want to be careful not to tag this to the militia.
Do they call themselves the militia?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
They call themselves Free Men.
Oh.
Which I thought, actually, we all were, more or less. But
well, I guess what I want to make a comment about is, well, I used to be in the Navy.
I'll tell you what. Let me, if I can, put your comment with you on hold until after the break. Can I do that?
Sure, that'd
all
be
right.
Fine.
We'll come right back to you after the break. You're listening to the best in live overnight talk radio. Unscreen calls coming up next.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 26, 1996.
Good evening. Good to be here, everybody. I'm Art Bell. We've got a caller on hold. We're talking a little bit about the Free Men, and we're going to continue to do that. I've got a number of faxes here that I will read in just a moment. You're back on the air. Thank you for holding on.
Yeah, back on the air, Art?
Back on the air, sir.
Before the station break, I was commenting on the fact that I spent 8 years in the United States Navy. And I guess where it relates to this is I had a strong sense of patriotism and everything else when I entered the armed services. And I guess where it relates to this is that I don't understand these militia groups or any groups in the United States that ride upon some sort of personal freedom or patriotism, that resort to illegal acts and all sorts of things in order to get their point across. I can understand protesting and voting and legal means, but
yes.
I just don't think it's gotten to a revolutionary point in this country yet for people to be acting the way they are.
Nor do I, and I think your response and that of others says exactly that. I'm going to read to you now. Dear Art, it seems every time I fax you, you ignore my letters. Well, look, I don't. I get 200 or 300 faxes a night. So I'll read this one. Now I fax you to inform you that these so-called Free Men are not legitimate citizens, yet they claim to be harassed and subjected to government's wrongdoing against them. Bunk! In this instance, they are using the anti-government sentiment out there for their own personalized agenda. These people are regular crooks that run around ripping the common citizens off by passing bad checks and whatever illegal activity they can to maintain their existence. I do support many of those individuals who wish to be free of our government's taxation without representation or wish to be absolutely self-sufficient from the government. If they were burning their draft cards, as with the 1960s, I might be supportive. But this time, these are genuine hillbillies, signed T-Bone. Well, there's your facts, T-Bone. And I think that you make a rather good point. I don't know if I agree with the whole thing. The truth is somewhere probably in the middle. I just think that getting this out is the best possible medicine for the American public to be able to digest what may occur. Now, exactly who are these people? Exactly what do they really believe? Do you really share those views? Tossing out driver's licenses? Painting your own numbers on a driver's license, on a license plate on your car? Refusing to pay income tax? Harassing local officials, disrupting court procedures when you do get taken to court, that sort of thing. What do you support? Do you support that kind of action? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, my name's David.
Hello, David. Where are you?
Las Vegas.
All right.
Yeah, I was just wondering, Mr. Bell, if you'd like the opportunity to have on your show probably this country's foremost expert on the Internal Revenue Code, Title 26.
Who would that be?
Mr. Irwin Schiff.
Irwin Schiff.
Absolutely.
Irwin Schiff.
Not only could he educate you, but millions of your listeners.
Well, he could tell me things. I don't know that it would be an education. I know
I
very well understand what Irwin Schiff stands for.
Absolutely. It would be an education.
Mm-hmm. I'm not opposed to the idea.
Yeah, well, can I
in other words, I'll
off the air and give you his number and everything?
We can get off the air, but there's no one here to take the number, only me.
Ah.
So you'll have to fax it to me.
Okay, that I will.
All right. My fax number is area code 702-727-8499. 702-727-8499. And I will entertain having anybody on, whether I agree with them or not. And it so happens that I really don't agree with, generally, with tax protesters. People who say, I don't agree with what's being done with my money, so I refuse. Or they take the tact that, various tax, that income tax is voluntary, or that the 16th Amendment was never properly ratified, and so I'm not paying tax. I don't join those people. I pay my tax. And though I complain, like many of you, about a lot of what's done with it, I support the concept of it. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, I'm Tom from Mario.
Yes, thank you.
This is Kevin in Battleground, Indiana.
Yes, sir.
And calling about your statements about the freemen in Montana.
Yes, sir.
I run into a lot of people. I deal a great deal with guns. I buy and sell a lot. I'm a big hunter. My wife hunts. My children shoot guns with us. And I believe a great deal in the freedom of the people. And the problem these people seem to be having is the restrictions that are being placed on them by a government. And all I can say is I have my freedom, I have my family, I have everything I need and a lot of what I want in spite of the government, not because of it. And as far as, you know, they're saying they're protesting and they're arguing against the government and they're doing things, basically they're putting themselves in a bad position.
I'm not sure that you've got what you've got in spite of the government. I think that might be incorrect. You've got what you've got because you worked your fanny off for it.
Yes, I have.
And that's not in spite of the government.
Well,
that almost seems to suggest the government is trying to prevent you from having all this.
Oh, no, that's not what I'm suggesting. I'm
right, saying. So they're not. You really got what you got because you worked for it, sir, and you live in a system that allows you to do that.
Yes, I do, and I appreciate what I have.
Yes.
And I'm not saying I'm damn glad I live in a country where I can do these things.
There you are.
And as far as people go, you know, if you can't appreciate what you have, all I can say is I don't see millions of people flooding the borders into Mexico, Puerto Rico, or European nations. I see millions of those people coming to this country.
You're damn
every
right.
Year.
Yeah, that's right.
And all I can say is, you know, I have my guns and I love them. And if it came down to it, I'd probably bury some in the backyard to keep from losing them.
So would a lot of people, sure.
But I don't feel that, you know, these people are more or less putting themselves in a position to where they're setting themselves up to be targets.
I know.
And then they're complaining that they are the target of the government.
I know. I know. I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you. To the best of my knowledge, despite what may have been said in this letter, as far as I know, the U.S. Armed Services are not present in Montana. It's the FBI. It's local law enforcement. And look, based on what I've seen, and I know that it's going to make a lot of people out there suggest, there he goes again, Mr. Establishment. I think they're doing absolutely the right thing. You want an opinion? There it is. I think they're doing the right thing, law enforcement, that is. And if anything, it seems to me they're bending over backwards trying to avoid a bloody conflict. Whether that will ultimately be the case or not, I don't know. Part of that decision rests with the so-called free men who are a holdup. You know, if they start shooting, the feds are going to shoot back. but you just cannot declare yourself to be a sovereign little area within a sovereign nation, within a sovereign state. You just can't do that in America. You can't start writing bad checks. You can't start writing illegal money orders. You can't declare yourself a bank, a sovereign area, and that you're damn well going to do what you please. And if you do, you should expect trouble. And that's what they've got, is trouble. So that's my reading on this. I nevertheless wanted you to hear a letter from or about that group or from their supporters and hear what they had to say. And I tend to agree with the faxer or several faxers that these people are using a legitimate sentiment out there in America right now, an anti-government kind of frustrated, angry sentiment. They're using it to support general lawlessness. And that's how I regard this. I don't want it to turn into any tragedy, and I certainly don't want a bunch of people who think they're protecting their sovereign rights running out to help these people, because I consider them to be engaging in criminal activity and using the banner of anti-government anger to cloak themselves in. That's the way I'm looking at this, and I know that's what's going to cause a lot of you to say, well, what a sellout, boy. You must have had a visit from the feds, huh? No, I'm just looking at this as I believe it is. Now, we will solicit shortly. As a matter of fact, let us do that. Let me open my West of the Rockies line to Montana only. Montana only. If you're in Montana, if you know anything about what's going on up there right now, call 1-800-618-8255. Everybody else hold off, and we'll get to hear from the area. It's 1-800-618-8255 if you're in Montana. If you know something about all of this, if you would like to say, what a bunch of baloney, why there's military forces all over the place, we see the Army and the Marines and they're closing in, well, then you can call and say that. If, on the other hand, you want to call up and say, look here, we're right in the middle of it all. We know what these guys are about. They're not about a genuine protest. They're lawbreakers in our view. And that's it. If you want to say that, then you can say that. But this is an important topic right now. Why is it important? I'll tell you. Because, in my opinion, if these men are allowed to cloak themselves in all of this anti-government sentiment, they're going to draw support that will result in a bloody confrontation that should not be for these reasons. Am I clear? We'll be right back. Now, West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Where are you, sir?
I'm in Kalispell, Montana.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Now, I've got a brother who's up with the Freeman.
With them?
With them.
In other words, one of them?
One of them.
Oh, all right. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Not really.
No?
No, it's kind of been putting some stress on the family.
Well, when I said wonderful, I meant from our informational point of view.
I see what you're getting at.
Yeah. What exactly is your take on what they're doing?
Well, I really don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they know what they're doing. He got in with some of the wrong people, and I think that he had an identity crisis, and he got mixed up with a bunch of people that he shouldn't have. I don't know what he plans on, you know, starting a revolution or whatnot, or what he's got going on in his thick little skull, and I'm not too happy about anything that's going on up there.
How's your family tried to communicate to him? I'm sure you have.
We received a letter about 3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and he, you know, kind of said something about how they've all just been planning something. You know, he's always been talking about how there's a plan. There's some kind of plan that's going to set us all straight, you know. And never really talks too much about what he's dealing into. I don't really know what goes on up there. He came back about 3 months ago. He headed out to wherever he went with these guys about 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been in contact with him maybe twice since then, three times at most.
I'm sure you're worried about him.
Very worried.
Yeah. I'm trying to look objectively at this and find out what's really going on. Do you have any information on whether there's U.S. military involved at this point?
I don't. And like I said, we got a letter about a month or so ago, and basically whatever they stand for is against the military.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always been against the military, and I don't know. Like I said, he didn't talk too much about.
So he doesn't express, for example, against the military. Why?
No.
No?
He doesn't. He just won't. He's kind of distant from us. I think he's got a new family.
Well, look, I really appreciate your input. I worry with you about their fate and what they're doing and why they're doing it. The only thing I'm trying to do here, thank you very much for the call, is to get out some information across the country about what this is and what it isn't. I don't want to see a flashpoint where there otherwise should not be one. And I've been fearing this for a long, long time. You know, something else that would come along that would be like or perceived to be like a Waco. God help us should there be another Waco. But I don't think that's what this is. And I don't want it to be that. And the only thing that will prevent it from being that is if what's expressed in this letter and, you know, what's flying around by faxes is generally shown to be, frankly, BS. That the U.S. government with the military in violation of the U.S. Constitution is closing in. Blah, blah, blah. That kind of talk and that kind of thing is going to cause a sympathetic reaction in, admittedly, a large anti-government group that's out there right now. I know it's there. You know it's there. We all know it's there. And I think only a clear understanding of what they're really about and what's really going on will prevent real trouble. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art Bell.
Yes.
This is Steve in Spokane. I know I'm not in Montana, but I was just out there last weekend.
Yes.
And so I just thought I'd call and maybe help to give some insight as to what's going on out there.
Give us insight. What?
Well, I was there on Sunday, the day before they arrested Schweitzer and Peterson.
Yes, sir.
And didn't see any activity of military. There are women and some younger folks on the compound out there.
Well, that's been a point of dispute. And I said I'd heard reports there were women there and children. And there may, in fact, be. I don't know.
Oh, I can guarantee that there are. I was just there on Sunday,
uh-huh.
Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
They give a school, a class, usually once a week, that they usually have 25 people or so that come out to the class. And teach from their point of view what's going on. Another point that might be interesting for you is that they're not writing bad checks. What they have done is perfected a number of uniform commercial code type liens against many different kind of people that they feel have tromped on their constitutional rights. These liens have been perfected and upheld in various courts, and then based on those liens, they're reassigning some of that lien credit to various people, and then they run it back through the system. So it's not a check on any bank account per se, and they're not writing bad checks claiming they have money in a bank. In fact, they actually have a special collection account for the liens with the United States Treasury.
Well, if they're writing checks on accounts that have money in them, then there's not a problem. But apparently these checks cannot be redeemed for cash, so that's a bad check.
Well, but it's not a check. It's a lien draft. It's a different type of note.
Yeah, I know, but if you write a check in payment for a service or a product or food or whatever it is, and that check cannot be cashed, then it's not a good check.
But it's not cashed the normal way. You put it back through directly to the comptroller of the currency, and then it is redeemable for that person. Or
well, then it's not a bad check.
It's not a bad check, exactly. And it is not. And I have a number of copies of these that have been paid out by the IRS on the U.S. Treasury. People that have overpaid their taxes using these lien drafts, and the Treasury has refunded extra money.
Mm-hmm.
And I have copies.
Well, somebody must have had trouble cashing a check, because that's one of the charges.
Right. Well, I would assume that the government doesn't like these things coming back to them, and so they're kind of upset that this is taking place. When in fact they are liened, and the liens have been declared valid. They are a common law type of lien, and that is the other thing that they really want to do. They want to get back to the common law as opposed to statutory law.
No driver's licenses, printing up your own plates, no paying of income tax.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
All right, listen, sir, I have got to run. I'm at the top of the hour. I appreciate your input. I will continue to hold this line open for Montana. That's 1-800-618-8255. I'm Art Bell.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
This is the music of Cusco. You know, it really reminds me, this piece particularly called Montezuma, reminds me of the Moody Blues back in the days when they were accompanied by a full orchestra. Do you remember that? Ah, those were the days. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
I work for the sheriff's office here.
Yes, sir.
And, they had a statewide task force made up of different tactical teams from throughout the state of Montana.
Right.
That were planning to do something about the Freeman movement here.
Right.
Not about the movement, but about the situation up in Jordan. We were given information from the FBI, and at the last moment, they stepped in and took over the operation. From our intelligence, there is definitely women and children up on that ranch up there.
So I have heard, yes.
And Mr. Schweitzer did, in fact, pass a bad check written on a phony account here in Gallatin County, Montana, to one of our district court judges.
That's what I heard.
And trying to arrange bond for one of the freemen here. So they have written at least one check that I know of here in Bozeman, Montana, that was drawn on a fraudulent account.
Okay, that's a specific. Beyond that, no driver's licenses, no license plates, no paying federal income tax.
Well, that's what the check was. There was one of the freemen that live in the county here had been cited on numerous traffic violations, no license plates like what you say, and fake driver's license or no driver's license or whatsoever, and they did in fact pass a bad check or attempt to post his bond here in this county.
Well, what is your attitude about what they're doing? simple, straightforward, they are breaking the law?
Well, yes, you know, I feel that everyone has the right to their own views and to voice their views. But when you step out on the other side and threaten violence against law enforcement officers or anyone of authority, then that's stepping over the line.
What makes this so damn touchy is that there are all these militia groups now and all of these anti-government or even anti-law enforcement organizations that are kind of on the edge. And I'm not talking about the mainline militias now, but groups that might be inclined to come to the aid of these people. And there's always the possibility of a, you know, of a violent confrontation. And it looks to me like the government, the FBI, law enforcement is going out of their way to try to avoid that. Maybe even too far out of their way. I don't know. I think that we just can't allow this kind of thing to go on, and yet things are very sensitive today. Buildings are blowing up in our country. People are very upset with the government for some good cause, but I just fear what's going to happen, and I think getting out the truth about what's going on here will prevent such a problem.
Well, as far as the local newspapers here and over in Billings, Montana, I'm reading nothing of any of the Montana militia moving in to assist these folks at all.
Right.
That's not in the papers up here.
Matter of fact, quite the opposite. I understand that this group actually issued an arrest warrant or something for the head of the Montana militia.
I have heard that too. I couldn't give you any type of an official on that. But we have freemen that are in this county, and we have members of the militia, and we've never had a problem with the militia members. It seems more with the freemen that think the local law enforcement has no type of authority over them, and that seems to be the main problem that we have in this county around Bozeman, Montana.
If you were in charge of having to deal with this, would you take the attitude of just sort of in effect surrounding them or having a standoff and just waiting till hell freezes over if necessary so that it can end peacefully, or how would you handle it?
Well, I think that what's being done is the correct way. There's a good quote in the Billings paper that stated that taking Leroy Schweitzer away from the Freeman was like having half of your brain removed. That's a quote out of the Billings Gazette. And I think that's a good quote. Him and Mr. Peterson were both spearheading this. They're the mouthpieces for them folks up there.
So, in other words, it may sort of fall apart, given a little bit of time without their presence.
Well, let's hope so. I sure hope that it can be solved peacefully.
Listen, my friend, thank you for the call.
And thank you
very much for the information. In this particular situation, I really, really think that getting the truth out is essential to preventing trouble. And I can tell you right now, there are faxes, there are stories that are crossing fax machines and across the internet that are making this group out to be heroic anti-government people deserving of protection with the entire U.S. Armed Services closing in on them and all the rest of it. And it's a bunch of baloney, folks. Near as I can tell, it's absolute baloney. So you make up your own mind. You continue to listen to the people that are calling that know about this, and you make up your own mind. If there is a time when there's going to be a conflict, I think this should not be it. And that those who would think of coming to the assistance of this group should think twice and three times before they do it. Pick your cause carefully, gentlemen. I want to say one other thing. The photographs that we had up yesterday on the internet were terrible, and there was a problem in the translation of them going up to the web page. And I refer now to the Richard Hoagland pictures. And here is one sent to me by fax. Dear Art, this picture, the one above, of an astronaut and what's in the background, and certainly the Zond photographs, seem to cry out for an explanation from the Never a Straight Answer boys. I admit I was skeptical, but these are beyond interesting. They are fascinating. This is from Mike. So we've got the photographs up there correctly now for you to download. And again, I do indeed recommend you see the Zond photographs. and several of the others that are up there now. And if you tried them yesterday and had no luck, try them again today, because today they've been put up there properly. And I want to thank Keith, who worked damn near all night on it to get it done last night. He runs the webpage. And so they're there now. Be my guest and go get them. My webpage is www.artbell.com. That's www.artbell.com. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Anson from Missoula.
Yes, Missoula, Montana. Yes, sir.
Yeah, we talked last night for a while.
We sure did.
Well, I'm on a less liberal note, on a more something maybe I can be a little calmer about. I'm a countercultural religions major. I was at the University of Montana here, and we used to, I mean, being right in the middle of it all, we used to talk about it all the time, the militias and the freemen and everything. And my father is one of the directors for the FMHA in the state, so.
Okay.
We hear about this kind of thing all the time. Well, these guys, they did, first of all, the caller from Spokane is pretty confused. They have been for a long time, this is nothing new, making up their own checks and money orders on mm-hmm. banks that they make up in their minds, I guess. They decide that, I don't know, it all starts that, you know, that they start to lose money on their farms and things. The
well, that's a cool idea. So in other words, if I need some money, I could, create the Bank of Art Bell and then write checks.
Because they don't understand why, like their farms will start to go down, the prices, you know, go up, whatever, they can't make enough money on their ranches. And then, so they go in to get loans, and they get their loans, they default, and the government ends up taking away part of the ranches and things, and it kind of confuses them. They start to get, you know, pretty upset about this, and I think they get in their minds that if anybody can just make up a bank, you know, if the banks can just do this to them, then they don't have to go through those banks. They'll make up their own bank. So they decide, well, I have a bank, you know, and it's based on my potato crop this year, and this potato crop's worth about, you know, $300, so that's how much I have in my bank, and I can write a check out on that.
Interesting.
And that's the way they do it. They'd also done money orders, fake money orders, I just heard on the radio
yes.
during the last break.
Yes.
So it's not... This is by no, they are the guy was halfway right. They did have some liens against people, but that
Correct.
Has nothing to do with their checks or money orders.
All right, thank you very much for that clarification. And that too is what I had understood from the wire services. Now, granted, the wire services can frequently get it wrong, and they might have it wrong. But a lot of what I see here is. Or should be the subject of genuine interest by law enforcement. I guess what I'm trying to say here is, please pick your causes carefully, and before you jump, understand what you're jumping on. Because I get a lot of fax traffic, and a lot I know what's going on out there. Believe me, I know I'm in touch. I get faxed. By a lot of these groups, and I know what's going on. There's a lot of talk of the army moving in, and as far as I can see, that's baloney. There's a lot of talk about moving in and crushing the group. So far, there's been none of that. In fact, frankly, if you want to know the truth, I think that law enforcement is bending over backwards, maybe even too far, because of what occurred at Waco. Maybe even too far. In other words, I really am on the side of law enforcement. And I think they're a little gun shy, you'll excuse the phrase, I hope, at the moment. And there needs to be law enforcement in this country. You cannot just declare yourself to be a sovereign area within a sovereign state, within a sovereign country. You just can't do that. And if you have disagreements with the American government, which they obviously do, there are prescribed methods of redress. Really, there are. I know that a lot of frustrated anti-government types say, well, it doesn't do any good. Yes, it does. You can fight if that's what you want to do. We have one of the very few systems on the whole face of the globe, if you doubt that, travel a little bit, that allows you all these avenues of redress. And it is not time to give up on that wonderfully now 2 centuries-old system that does work. Cumbersome, yes, but it does work. East of the Rockies, you're on Whoops, would have been on the air. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Morning, Art.
Good morning. First-time callers call area 702-727-1222. Okay, well, whatever. First-time caller line, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning, sir.
This is Wayne Ock, Wayne from Kaiser.
Kaiser where?
Oregon.
Oregon, okay.
And you seem to be confused on taxation.
Am I?
Yes.
Okay.
Taxation is not a legitimate, for income tax, is not a legitimate taxation.
It's not, huh?
Income was not defined when the Tax Act was passed as earned income. It was on investments. It's been turned around.
So you're saying it is not legitimate that they would tax any income you make?
Not on wages.
Not on wages. That's not legitimate, not legal.
That was not what it was about. It was about investment income.
Well, sir, tax, in the beginning, there was really no tax.
That's true, because this country was meant to be supported by tariffs.
And tax law has changed over the years, hasn't it?
By the few in power, yes.
Yeah, well, we are the guys who pick the people in power.
No, not really.
We are. We vote the people in and out.
The good old boy system votes the people in and out.
I see. So we have nothing to do with the people that are
very little.
Very little, huh?
If you were to put in a third party candidate and the good old boy system does not like it, do you think the Electoral College is going to put him in?
Yes.
Fat chance. There's no way. If they're not one of the two major parties.
What do you base that on? That's baloney. I mean, look, there are two basic big parties, and people choose to belong, for the most part, to those two big basic parties. And if there was enough sentiment for somebody to start a third would be there, and a third would win. But it doesn't. Not because some hidden hand is manipulating the vote, but because that's what the majority of the people choose.
I wish I could say that I had that much faith in the majority of the people, but I don't.
That's just a fact. What do you mean faith? You know, that is the kind of talk that I think is absolute, utter garbage. Garbage! Absolute garbage! The two main schools of thought in this country are a generally conservative, generally liberal, a sprinkling of libertarianism, a support for Ross Perot and others. This man is saying it can't be done. It absolutely can't be done. Of course it can be done. It's just that not enough people want to join you to do it. That's all. But America allows for it. And one day, if the people get disgusted enough with the two main parties, a third will succeed. It could happen. And the fact that people like my last caller have given up on that prospect tell me there's going to be trouble. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, am I on the air?
You are. Turn your radio off.
Okay, I've been waiting all night. I kind of got excited when I got to talk to you. I did an interview with a Freeman that was involved in the courthouse fiasco today.
Oh, you did?
I got, it was about an hour interview.
Where are you, sir?
I'm in Bozeman.
You're in Bozeman, Montana, and you interviewed one of them for an hour?
Yes, sir.
How did you manage to do that? I mean, they were in federal court, or they were in court, rather, and they threw a fit, I guess, and then they had to reschedule the whole affair. How did you manage to get an interview?
When he got home, he came straight up here to my house.
To your house?
Yes.
Okay. What can you tell us?
Well, first of all, you probably understand that I have to put out a disclaimer on what I say just for my own interest, and then I'll tell you what's going on. Do you understand about that?
What disclaimer is that?
Well, a disclaimer is saying that somewhere along the line in my life I've lied, and so that whatever I say tonight, it can't come back on me, you know, from the government or something. But since I've already done that, we can go ahead. Where would you like me to start? With actually what happened in the courtroom today?
Sure.
Okay. A friend of mine came up tonight and told me what had happened at the courthouse today, and he said it was a very pathetic situation. According to him, Richard Anderson, the magistrate in the 10th District Court, did a terrible job of trying to get this thing out in the open. Him and Schweitzer immediately got into this verbal exchange back and forth. And what the judge, Anderson, doesn't understand that in common law, which is different from his admiralty court, is that the common law people get their powers from their own people, which was the people in the background, the seven men, the seven freemen who were in the back of the courthouse.
And what source of law is that?
Pardon me? That's common law.
Common law?
Yes.
So, in other words, they are unto themselves the law.
Yes, they are. So they
baloney.
So
you know, did you hear what I said, sir? Baloney.
Oh, well, do you want me?
They are not unto themselves the law.
Okay. Well, I don't want to argue with that. I just want to tell you what happened in the courtroom today.
Well, I'm perfectly willing to listen, but your account of it thus far, and the account in the press are significantly different. In other words, the press is saying that these men intentionally created a disturbance. I didn't hear anything about the judge yelling at them.
Can I tell you what happened?
You can after the break. I've got a break coming up, and if you want to hold on, I'll hold you. All right, stand by. Well, here we go. You're going to hear their side of it coming up here in a moment, and we will listen.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 26, 1996. Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 26, 1996.
Hi, everybody. I'm Art Bell. My first inclination was to take on this caller, but I'm not. I did a little bit because I couldn't stand it. But instead, I'm going to let him say what he wants to say. I think you're about to get the view of somebody in sympathy with the free men. And so I need to listen. So do you. Let's listen. You're back on the air again. Hello?
Yes, thank you. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to explain what this is. I am not a freeman.
No, but you seem to be clearly in sympathy with them.
Yes,
would that
yes
be fair?
I am, and I am part of the militia of Montana.
Oh, you are?
Yes, a local.
Well, then, before you get going, I really do want to ask a question, and
yes,
that is, the militia of Montana and the freemen, I understand, there's not exactly been a lot of love lost between them. Or am I wrong, and is there a lot of support for them in the militia of Montana?
The only unit I can speak for is the local people that I went to emergency meeting with yesterday. And these people are not necessarily pushing for the freemen, but they are very concerned about their safety. And the thing that they're also concerned about is if the freemen get taken down, then are the militia next? And so that's the natural concern.
Why would it be a natural concern? In other words, the freemen...
We don't trust the government.
I see. All right. Well, anyway, go ahead. You interviewed this man about what went on in the court.
Yes.
Who was it you interviewed, sir? Might we know?
Pardon me?
Who did you interview?
He's a neighbor of mine. Do you want his name?
No.
Oh.
I thought you interviewed one of the men.
Yes. He was in court today.
So he was there as a spectator.
He got thrown out of court.
He got thrown out of court?
Yes.
But he was there as a spectator, not as a litigant.
That's true.
All right, go ahead.
The notes that I have, the three pages I have, they were just as he described it to me, so it's not in an order. So if you don't understand something, you know, you have to just throw it in because I want to give it to you the way that he gave it to me. First of all, when the Mr. Schweitzer and the judge, Richard Anderson, got into it, they got into... A technical wording situation, and of course the common law does not have anything at all close to resemble what the law that the judge was using, the court system that they were using. So they got into quite a feud. And one of the things that the common law does, they have to ask the people who are in the back of the court, who are their peers, if it's all right to do certain things, and it required them to nod or say yes and no. And during this, the first man to be kicked out was Dan Peterson's son, who happened to be the biggest guy there. when he was nodding, they must have decided that the judge had to get back control of the court, so he started throwing these people out. The first one to go was Dan's son, or Dan Peterson's son, Dan, and whose mother happens to be in the building under siege at this time. And so he got thrown out, and then my friend, he was nodding, and pretty soon six FBI agents who were in the courtroom, I guess there was about 100 of them in the courtroom, giving them all kind of bad looks and stuff, they come over and immediately physically escorted my friend out of the courtroom. The other friend of mine who is named, who has, the one that you were talking about earlier, who had been taken from the Gallatin County Jail, or thrown into Gallatin County Jail for not paying his driver's license or not having a driver's license and stuff, he was on the way over to, well, he was headed east, and the Livingston Highway Patrol picked him up, and somewhere between the time that the Highway Patrol picked him up and the court hearing yesterday, he got the hell beat out of him. I'm not sure if he got a broken arm or not, but that's what I've heard. And then in the courtroom today, when also again, when they handled the same man out who had been negligent on the traffic tickets, they beat the hell out of him in the courtroom.
In the courtroom?
Yes, sir.
What cause for this beating was there? I mean, they just suddenly walked over to him and began to club him?
I understand is they grabbed him, and there's a little room somewhere adjacent to the court, the actual courtroom, and they took him in there, and that's where they beat him up.
So there was no causative reason for this beating. They just felt like
beating. No, this man is a very God-fearing man. I could not understand. He's not a violent man at all.
Mm-hmm. So they, for no reason, they beat him. That's amazing. In a courtroom, too. You wouldn't think they would do that.
It's very scary. That's why these other people are afraid to come out. Also, Schweitzer had a big strawberry on the side of his face. I'm not sure which side it was, but he had a big strawberry on his face, too.
You don't think there's any possibility that they provoked any of this?
No, sir, I don't. I really don't.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that, let me go through here, and one of the biggest things, as they were never told what the charges were during this whole thing today. First, they were told that it was for issuing fake money. Then later, the government changed it to a bad check, which is two completely different charges. So today, these people were not charged.
Well, yes, they were not charged, but the reason is that the proceeding was halted.
I understand that, but I think so whatever their case, they weren't charged today.
Uh-huh.
It was not. That did not come out.
Well, the press now is reporting that they created such a disturbance in the courtroom,
mm-hmm,
that the proceedings could not continue. Now, could that be the case?
Yes, I do believe that.
You do believe that?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the upshot of the hour-long interview?
No, there's more things to it. What they're concerned about, the Freeman are really concerned about, is that Schweitzer, when he goes, he's going to be, you know, obviously going to go to jail for this thing. They're afraid that he's going to get knocked off. And the people, the militia people, my people that I've been talking to, the big concern is that we, as a group of Montanans and also as militia people, we feel that we should have someone over in Jordan watching what's going on, because we think they're going to pull back the newspaper and the publishers and stuff, and then they're going to take take down that farmhouse. Mm-hmm. And there are 18 people in it, and there are children in it. And so what we are afraid of is there will be another Waco.
It would be your view that they have every right to be holed up as they are and not be bothered, no matter what they do, because they are a law unto themselves, correct?
I believe that common law, which goes back to the Magna Carta, when we get this developed a little bit more and more people understand the common law, they will understand that these people have perfected this. And my advice to anybody that's in the, you know, that has responsibilities against these people, to be very careful and not to go against their constitutional rights, because what has happened is they will put a lien against you. If you go against the constitutional rights, it's like the sheriff in this county has found out, and some of the police officers and the judge who wouldn't allow the one man a constitutional jury last week, I went to that, I attended that, and the judge would not allow this man to be represented.
Now, on what basis did the Freeman issue an arrest warrant for the leader of the Montana militia?
I don't have a lot of details on it. I know that he had gone up there to try to, to try to work up some kind of a deal whereby it would relieve the tensions in the community, and he wanted to find a way to negotiate with the Freeman.
And so he deserved an arrest warrant issued?
For some reason, I can't comment on that. I'm sorry.
I see. All right. Well, thank you very much for the call and an outline of what it is you believe. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art. This is Murph in Montana.
Murph in Montana. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Just came in from checking the cows.
Yes, sir.
Calving out here in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
Let me tell you about a little bit about the proximity. If the place goes up in flames, I could see the smoke over the hill here.
You're that close?
Well, relatively, yes. There's a couple things you should understand probably about the people involved here.
All right.
Here's my take on it anyway. This has been going on for years and years. It started when land values depreciated and whatnot. Some of these people around here have gotten into trouble. There was an epidemic, and still is, quite frankly, of displaced ranchers and farmers. And what I think has happened is that you're talking third and fourth generation farmers and ranchers and landowners. This is their way of life. Most of these guys are local boys, and they got themselves into way too much debt, and their lifestyles and their lives and everything they've ever done was in jeopardy. And what are you going to do? And I think what happened then beyond that is that there's still quite a few free men sprinkled around that aren't necessarily part of this compound.
Understood.
And half the town is related to these guys in the small town. The law enforcement is related to some of these guys.
Sure.
And we're very patient people out here. You know, I mean, it's just like, well, let's just sit back and wait and see what happens here. And some of the militia wannabe types in the state, the militant types, said, well, here, guys, here's what you do. You know, set up a phony account, get on this. And they said, you know, at least you could live on your land and you're trying to go into the big city and get a job working at
You're trying to tell us the militia instructed the freemen?
No. Huh.
That's what
the
you just said.
Type, the militia wannabe type.
All right. I want to be clear about that.
Yeah, exactly. No, huh. And never, ever dreaming that this thing would get this out of hand, this out of control, this much coverage, this much attention. These are generally...
Why do you think it has?
Just like anything. How does anything get out of control? One thing leads to another.
Yep.
At this point, it has grown into, I believe, a volatile situation. There was a piece in a paper the other day. They had someone in Indiana or in the Midwest somewhere who was a licensed arms dealer had received an order from these gentlemen for the list was unbelievable, hundreds and hundreds of thousands. Well, it was $1.4 million worth of arms and armaments, and of course the guy did not fill the order because the money was no good.
Mm.
But he did report it. He was an honest arms dealer, and didn't want to lose his license or anything, so the first thing he did was report it. But the list was incredible. They had it in the paper, and I wish I had it in front of me because it had, you know, tens of thousands of rounds of ammunition and anti...
Okay, well, the word is out. They are very heavily armed.
They are.
They are.
Okay. They are, and they quote, say, we're not going in, you know. And I quite frankly, these are people that have nothing else left to do. You know, they have nothing else to lose. And so it is, it's
you know, see,
I hope it, you know, we're all thinking that it, you know, they'll come to their senses and walk out
and be
gentlemen. But basically, these were guys that just couldn't pay their taxes. They got into bad debt.
Yep.
And,
all right, but
they're good old boys, they're local guys. And I just hope that it, and so far, it's just been state and local.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for the call. Look, state and local, I don't think so. The FBI is there. That's confirmed by the mainstream press and by other people. The FBI is certainly there, and that's federal. Look here. There's always choices in life. Even if you owe the IRS money, even if you're in debt, there continue to be choices in life. And you don't have to choose to be holed up in a farmhouse somewhere or a compound, armed to the teeth, ready for a personal Armageddon. You just don't have to do that. There are other choices in life. There is bankruptcy. There's going out to get another job. There's going out to get into another career field. There is life generally. And life is not an easy path. Nobody ever said it was going to be a rose garden. It is not. So there are choices. And I disagree that these people have been forced into a situation where they have no choice left. They do have a choice. Every step of the way, they've got a choice to walk out now and have this end peaceably. As far as I'm concerned, when I look at this situation, law enforcement has been very, very patient. In fact, maybe a little too much so for my taste, but very patient up until now. And I would like to prevent this becoming a cause celeb. In other words, all the anti-government, anti-tax, anti-driver's license, anti-people joining in with these people and having some sort of horrible incident. Volatile, the caller said. Well, yes, it is very volatile right now. But they're making choices. As we speak, every minute, they've got an opportunity to make a choice. And right now, their choice is to stay holed up, armed to the teeth, ready for a personal Armageddon. And eventually it will no doubt come. Listen, a quick word about my book. I wrote a book, you know, a lot of you don't know, because I know there's an awful lot of new listeners out there. I wrote a book called The Art of Talk. And I wrote it and I was bluntly honest. I was really, really bluntly honest. And I guess maybe too much so for some. Because I have a lot of people who won't talk to me now. And one person who bought the book returned it to me. I got it today. She said, I'm a Christian and I cannot abide the kind of behavior you wrote about in there. Well, I didn't think it was that bad. I just told the truth. Let those without sin cast the first stone. And my book hit me in the head when it came back. So she sent my book back and said, I can't abide this. I read it, and I'm a Christian person, and I didn't think it was that bad. But she sent it back. So anyway, there you are. So I got a free copy of my own book back. It's the only one I've received back. It kind of startled me earlier today. I received my own book back. I said, wow, free copy of my book. It was a signed edition, too. And she said she just couldn't tolerate the kind of behavior that I wrote about. Well, some of the rest of you read it. Was it that bizarre, that out of line, that it would cause you to say, I can't abide this. I cannot have this evil book in my house. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, this is Jason.
Hi, Jason. Where are you?
South Lake Tahoe.
Okay. Well, you're on the air. Turn your radio off. That's
okay.
Number one. Always get your radio turned off, folks.
All right.
Good?
Hey, I wanted to talk about that lunar eclipse that's happening on the 4th.
All right. I don't know about it. What are we having?
It'll be a total lunar eclipse.
For what areas?
For the United States.
All across the whole U.S.?
Yep.
Wow.
At 12:07 Eastern Time.
9:07 here in the West, yes?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that comet that disappeared will reappear.
Cool. That ought to be. That ought to be. Will the moon? In what phase will the moon be?
At that point, it will be at its fullest point. It goes full at 12:07.
Yes.
And then by 12:10 Eastern, the Earth will totally shadow the moon.
Cool.
Okay.
Yep. That ought to be really something. And you're right. That would be sure a time to see the comet, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. And along with this quickening thing?
Yes.
Pluto changed into Sagittarius.
Yes.
Which is a very adventurous sign.
Okay.
Back in November. Along yes. with that, this is the year of the rat in Chinese astrology.
Right. So what do you make out of all that?
Well, Scallion depicted this year correctly with the quickening and all. I feel that next year it's going to slow down a little bit.
That would be nice.
With Jupiter ignited.
Jupiter ignited? You mean into a sun?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's not going to slow anything down, my friend. Thank you very much for the call. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes. How are you doing, Art?
I'm doing okay.
Let me shut the radio off right away.
Fine, thank you. And tell us, if you would, where you are.
Yeah, I've been trying to get a hold of you for a long, long, long time.
Uh-huh.
Got a quick...
Where are you, sir?
Oh, I'm here in Omaha, and
okay.
My name's Jim.
Yes.
And you have said more than once that you are a free and accepted Mason. And that you are 99th degree.
99th degree.
And I am,
degree.
Too, a Mason.
Bet you're not 99th degree, though.
You and I, well, I'm 32nd. But what I was calling is, I was wondering, if I faxed you a copy of my dues cards.
Yeah.
For Scottish Rite, Blue, you know, my Blue Lodge, and I belong to the Shrine.
Yes.
Would you send me some info on, because I've been told there is no degrees higher than 33rd.
Well, of course you've been told that.
And if what you say is true,
mm-hmm.
You could be able to send me some info.
No, I can't. I mean,
okay.
Don't you understand that something as high as 99th is beyond top secret?
Well, then, in other words, you're full of baloney. And I'm sorry, but I won't listen to you anymore. Goodbye.
God, how sad. Oh, boy. Some people have no sense of humor whatsoever. None whatsoever.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 26, 1996.
Here again, I am. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. How are you?
Fine.
You were talking earlier about a third-party candidate, and I have something very interesting that happened. I'm from Alaska.
Well, let's define the discussion earlier. The party calling said... there never can be a third-party candidate, and that the powers that be in the two big parties will always suppress and destroy anybody who would be a third-party candidate, which is baloney.
Okay, I don't disagree with you, but this has to do with Ross Perot.
Okay.
It goes back. I was one of those fools that jumped on the Perot bandwagon.
Why do you think you were a fool?
Well, if you'll let me finish, I'll explain.
I will.
I started and completed the petition for Alaska.
Okay.
To get him on our ballot.
All right.
In doing so, I formed a party, which I called the No Party Party. Now, I was one of the people that went to that July meeting in Dallas. It would be a long story to tell you why I left there. Very enchanted.
You don't have time. I thought it was United We Stand was their party.
That was Ross Perot's party.
Right.
In order to get him to the ballot in Alaska, right, we had to form a party. I did so.
Oh, I see.
To put him on the ballot here, the party's name was the No Party.
I've got you. All right. So you went down to Dallas. You got disenchanted.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Just totally let go of Mr. Perot. Now, I received a very interesting letter for people that think that Mr. Perot was not going to be running or trying to make up his mind. It's a two-paragraph letter for the validity. I could read it to you or I can paraphrase it. It came to me from the elections office of our state, at which a legal official for Mr. Perot had actually gone to our state, not to me, wanting to change the name of the No Party Party, in fact, to the Reform Party.
Okay.
And I found it very interesting. You know, people are wondering about this man. But it says to me that it's very obvious that he plans on running when he has his legal department in Dallas doing something. I mean, you know, to go to the state, and basically what the state said is that the party name could be changed, but it would have to be authorized by the No Party Party's bylaws.
Okay.
But Ms. Peggy Patrick of the legal department of the Reform Party asked if the name of Alaska's limited political party called the No Party Party could be changed to the Reform Party.
Yes.
And I thought that it was very interesting for people that are wondering what this man is going to do. Obviously, it isn't just Mr. Buchanan that we have to worry about spoiling it. It is obvious to me by this that Mr. Perot is certainly working at getting his name on the ballot.
Well, of course he is. All right, now I think I've got your story straight. I wouldn't worry too much about it. If you look, and there was a big argument on Brinkley about this over the weekend, if you look carefully at the exit polling information after the last election, Perot is one candidate who took equally from both parties. In fact, Ed, equally. And that's very cautious, careful, exhaustive exit polling that determined that. There are a lot of people out there who want to constantly say Perot is the person that got Bill Clinton elected. That's absolute garbage. Cokie Roberts made that argument very convincingly last week. The exit polling showed that Ross Perot drew equally from both parties. Ross Perot is not the one that either party needs to really worry about, in my opinion. There are two people to worry about as spoilers. One of them is Pat Buchanan. The man has several choices to make. The other is Ralph Nader. He, too, has choices to make. I would presume that in Ralph Nader's mind, he would much rather see Bill Clinton than Bob Dole. There is a significant possibility that in California, a key state, one that Clinton must have, Ralph Nader would siphon off just enough votes to give it to Bob Dole. There is an even greater possibility that Pat Buchanan, if he walks away, which he darn well might, would siphon off enough votes to put Bill Clinton back into the White House. So I wouldn't worry about Ross Perot. He will take roughly equally as he did last time from both parties. Now, the ones to watch, believe me, are Pat Buchanan and Ralph Nader. Guess what I'm going to do right now? I've had enough debates. You've heard enough about what's going on in Montana. What I want right now are two people. We're going to have a debate. Person number one should be somebody who would take the side of the freemen, who thinks the freemen are doing just the right thing. And they are declaring themselves, in effect, a law unto themselves. They're declaring themselves to be a law unto themselves, and somebody who believes that is correct. In other words, I want somebody who believes in what the free men are doing. Call me at area code 702-727-1222. who want a free man supporter at area code 702-727-1222. Now, somebody's going to argue their case who believes in what they're doing. If that's you, call me now. And I'm about to screen call, so you'll be wasting your money if you call for any other reason. I want a free man supporter, 702-727-1222. Then on any other line other than that, I want a person who would argue against what the free men are doing, who believe, basically, as that faxer did a little while ago, that they are crybabies, misbehaving children. And we'll get what's coming to them. And I will screen calls until I get the two people I want, and we will have a debate. We're ready to go. It was that fast. I've got a good audience. I really do have a good audience. And I also have an absolutely genuine person on the line here. Let's get this person's first name. Your first name is Bob. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And Bob, I don't want your last name. You're calling from Chico.
Yeah, I'm with the Sovereign Patriot Group. They know us here quite well.
I know you quite well, too, and I will affirm for the audience that I've received, though not read, because they're too long, Bob. I've received many faxes from you, and you are the genuine article, and you regard yourself as part of a sovereign patriot group.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Here comes the person you're going to be debating. And your name, sir?
Jim.
Jim. And you're calling from?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. All right.
How you doing, Bob?
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Let's go at it like this. What is your... What... don't you like about what they are doing? Number one, do you know what the government's allegations are?
Well, given that what I've heard over the, over the airwaves is true, I'm
very good.
The story's so new, who can really tell?
Exactly. Well, remember Waco.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but and I don't agree with that. I can see how situations like that can get out of control.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with them in any way, but that's how wars start too. I don't like wars.
Well, correct, but my point was, if you remember Waco, the government, and this is true in Ruby Ridge also, the government, at the start of a conflagration, comes out, grabs the media, tells them a plethora of lies, and then years later, after the event
they're telling the truth
is consummated, we find out the truth, and what the government says turns out to be a lie.
Well, I'm not sure we can say that with any certainty. I think we probably get half-truths from both sides.
Well, I think in Waco, there is a certainty.
I think right now, I think the guys up in Montana, if what's being, put over the airwaves is true, they're promoting anarchy.
Well.
And they got women and children up there. They're putting their lives at stake. I can't believe that the children...
Let's go this way. You say it's anarchy, correct?
Pardon?
You're on the side that the free men are creating anarchy, correct?
Absolutely. They're choosing what law they want to believe.
Whoa. What do you mean, what law?
What's
you
this
mean
Magna Carta stuff? Come on,
law?
That was, how many hundreds of years ago was that? What's that relevant to?
Well, let me understand. Do you believe in the First Amendment?
Of course. Absolutely.
So how many hundreds of years
today.
Ago was that?
Pardon?
How many hundreds of years ago was that law?
Oh, I don't know. Who knows? Why don't we go back, 10,000 years to the cavemen?
Wait a minute. You're making the case that there's several laws in the United States.
There's
and
a constitution
Patriots,
that everything seems to me to be based
well,
on.
I'll give you a chance to talk here. You're saying that there's several laws and that these Patriots are going out and researching these old, archaic laws and that somehow those laws are bad, but the government's
new laws
are
bad. I'm not saying
they're
bad. I'm just saying that they're bringing up some kind of foundation that really isn't relevant to today.
Well,
people say the same thing about the Constitution, but I also look at that as if it's just the
Have you
the
researched
base.
Their side? Have you opened up the books and seen what they have read?
The Magna Carta?
No, not the Magna Carta. For example, seven people got up in court today and made their own court decisions, and you and Art Bell disagree with that, correct?
If they were on the side of the freemen, yes. I don't know about Art, but I will say Let me
ask you, where does law come from? Government?
I believe the government is the people. Okay?
Well, what were those seven people? Were they cornucopia? Were they cantaloupes?
Well, I heard there were 100 FBI men in the courtroom. I wonder how they would have voted.
There you have it. There's law. A guy with a gun that gets paid by a government. No.
Well, I'll fly up there myself and vote against those guys.
Excuse me. The law is with the people. It's with the citizens. We contract out the government, the guys with the guns, to help us get free.
Yeah, well, we can't have every little citizen choosing what law they want to believe. That would be anarchy.
Well, I agree with that.
Well, that's what those guys are promoting.
No, they're not.
We will make our own money. We will, we will do what we want. There's nobody that they answer to.
Okay.
Other than themselves.
Let's take your case there. They make their own money, correct?
From what I hear, they pass something out, some negotiable instrument that somehow people accept as being worth something, and it turns out to be worthless.
And you you're saying this in your own words, and you say that's bad, and you say that's false, and you can't do it. Am I correct?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
You're saying that that's bad, and you can't do that, and that anyone that does that is a criminal, correct?
I wouldn't say a criminal. I would say that if there's absolutely no chance that any value will ever get to the other side, the other person.
I think that's wrong.
Whether it's criminals, I think it's wrong.
Well, fine.
Morally wrong, ethically wrong, criminal, I don't know.
Excuse me, I've got a huge news flash for you. You take out your wallet, you take out the script that you hold in your hand, and that's exactly...
I'm a CPA,
Hold on, let me finish here. That's the exact same model that they're using, and that's why the government didn't do it. As a matter of fact, did you know that they just raided the Civil Rights Task Force for these commercial liens because judges have been upholding them?
Whose liens? The liens?
What you call common citizens have been doing these commercial liens, exactly what's happening up in Montana, and the judges that you support, that you like, have been upholding these commercial liens.
How do you know I like those judges? What judges? I don't even know what the liens are. If they took a loan out against their property and that loan was secured by the property,
mm-hmm.
and they defaulted on the loan, supposedly, I don't know how it is in Montana, but in the loan document, it states what's going to happen if you default.
And if they signed it and agreed to it, and then they default.
They lose
doing?
The property. That's the way it works, man.
What do you think Washington's doing? They're running money on a default loan on the property that we own, and there's a sink
as far as I know,
of
they're not defaulting.
Going out of this nation that we don't know about.
As far as I know, they are not defaulting.
They're not?
I believe they make their interest payments and they roll it over.
Let me say this to you. Sure.
I've been an accountant for quite a while. I've watched this country. I've been going through hell for 10 years. I've been watching every section of this country hit by recession, depression. Out here in L.A., we got hit by everything.
In the world,
I've seen Texas get hit. I've seen the South. I've seen the Northeast. I saw L.A. and Southern California get wrecked. There's been foreclosures everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's Montana's turn, I guess. I'm sorry about that. I've seen some of my clients lose their property. I've seen Boy Scout leaders with young kids lose their homes, their careers.
I've lost my child.
I understand. Man, I don't want that to happen to anybody.
And there's no court in the world I can go into.
You can go to my court, man. I'll back you up.
Well, the thing is, here's the point. Sure, the United States...
You can't take it in your own, man. You can't pick up a gun and start shooting. This is America.
I never said that. Matter of fact, we are trying to use the laws. As a matter of fact, I wrote art tonight. We tried to arrest our sheriff here.
That's crazy.
No.
That's nuts.
Excuse me. If someone commits a criminal act, do they deserve to be arrested? Or have we created a nobility?
What law? According to the Magna Carta? Come on.
No. California Penal Code 142A, a citizen's arrest.
Yeah, well, terrific. Does that apply in Montana?
It should apply across this nation. See, here's the
it
key.
Should.
Citizens have more rights
make up
than
your
people
own laws,
in government.
Man.
People in government have no rights. They have power, enumerated power. We say, listen, we give you a gun, you can do certain things, but that's it. You don't go over the line. Now, you tell me where that line is nowadays. Can they kick in your door? Can they take your kid? Can they seize your bank account? Can they seize your car? Where do you want me to stop?
In certain circumstances, they can.
No, in any
I don't like it that they can, but typically I know that if something like that happens, I know what caused it. If they do it arbitrarily, man, I'll be right beside you.
Negative.
When
there's a gentleman down your area in L.A. who got killed because government wanted his land. That was his crime.
There's a lot of citizens out here arbitrarily kill people all the time, man.
But government doesn't have the enumerated authority to do it. A government can only do certain things. One, two, essentially one through ten.
All right, let me for a second step in. Let's discuss some specifics. They say they don't have to pay income tax.
Well, let's do the driver's license. That's a little bit more readily explainable.
Really?
We can go income tax, but...
Okay, whether it's driver's licenses, stop signs, income tax, license plates, whatever it is, they're rejecting all authority.
I don't like authority, but, man, you got to have some.
It has to be legal
authority.
You've
got to have something to keep everything together.
Because if you have just authority, you have a dictatorship.
I'm not saying complete. I'm not saying rigid. I don't want a police state. I read an article in a paper out here where some lady wants to put 3,000 cameras in the streets of L.A. for crime.
Well, let's keep on point here. Let's keep on with the
IRS. I don't like government. A lot of it. A little of it, yes.
So let me ask you this. If I walked over to you and I opened up a book and I read you the law and it said, hey, listen, you don't have to pay taxes, what would you say about that law?
I would say, boy, I hope that's right. And then I'd probably look a little further and go, whoop, this law over here precludes that one. Sorry.
No, and that isn't the way it works. I'm not saying this is the way it is. I'm trying to walk you down a road here.
Well, I know you are.
And no, it's not
I
to hurt
off.
You, whatever. I'm not trying to zing you. I'm trying to educate the public here because Art has brought out something really that hurts him, too. Here's the key.
Who's going to pay for Iraq, man?
No, here's the key. These patriots go and do consummate research. They sit at the law libraries and they find the laws, the same laws that lawyers use. We didn't write the book. We find these laws, we go in the court, we apply them, and they're denied every single time, and the judges know what they're doing. Now, where's the anarchy? Is the anarchy in obeying laws, and if I find a law that the law should work, or is anarchy judges taking a certain class of people that have found the law and denying it? Because
everything you're saying is based upon whether, in fact, that law is in fact, there.
Okay,
exists.
I don't know that it does.
I got to think that 250 million or 300 million people, I don't know how many people are in here,
so,
of the ones that vote, if that many people are fooled,
then
you got something.
Let's say you don't believe me, you don't believe the patriots. Would you believe the Supreme Court?
Well, I'd love them to say there is no income tax.
Well, that's what they're saying.
Pardon?
That's what they're saying. See, there's a huge...
The Supreme Court saying
the same
there's
thing.
No income tax?
Let me finish here.
I don't have to file this year?
Hold on for a second. Let me finish this. There's a huge void of law, and it starts between the guy who stops you and knocks on your door or pulls you over or says you have to pay tickets, and it goes all the way up to about the appellate state Supreme Court or Supreme Court. And there, all of a sudden, they say, well, yeah, you're right. You don't have to pay taxes.
And
in fact, there's a special number you get. There's a special number that you get that says that you are a tax protester, and they won't give out the number. But nonetheless, my point is what about this huge voidance of law that starts at the police officer and goes all the way up to the Supreme Court, and then after the Supreme Court, they kick the ground and say, well, yeah, you're right.
The citizens. Well,
what happens
the law?
In between there?
All right, gentlemen, do you both want to hold on? I've got a break.
Sure.
All right, stand by.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. We will take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Good morning, everybody. You've connected with The Real Thing. Open line, live, unscreened talk radio. We've got a debate going on. Bob is in L.A. And I'm sorry, I forgot your first name. In Chico?
No, I'm Bob in Chico.
Oh, you're Bob. And in L.A.?
Jim.
Jim. Okay, Bob and Jim. Subject. I just have one question before I let you resume. Bob, if I pay taxes and have a driver's license and go and pay my fees for my license plates and insurance and so forth, am I a patriot?
Yes.
Thank you.
There are all forms of patriots, and we recognize of all colors, all race. The thing is that there's something driving the patriot movement because it really didn't exist 20 years ago.
Bob, do you have a better phone? You sound like you're in the bottom of a barrel somewhere.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on for a second.
All right.
Go ahead, Jim. Why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, Jim, go ahead while he
hey,
changes
Bob,
phones.
Hey, Bob, could you go get some of that funny money so I can pay this phone bill?
Wow.
Anyway, go ahead, Bob. Lay some on him here. I'm sorry, Jim.
I don't know. I've been really concerned about radio these days, and I mean, I'm getting the mood of the country through the radio, whether it in fact applies or not, I don't know. But I've been getting worried. I hear a lot of people on the radio these days are talking about if we don't do this, we're going to start shooting. And, you know, I'll pick up a gun if I have to, but I want to live my life in peace with my wife and kids. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to go out front, you know, and you know, beat back, whatever. And I somewhat rely on the police for that, and government in general. And if I happen to fall, I hope someone will be there to catch me. And I will catch others, and I hope someone will catch me and mine and you and everybody else out there. I'm not afraid of people, and I'm starting to get the feeling out there and from the radio that everybody's afraid of everybody.
Yeah.
Well, you're absolutely right. And this, like I said, this conflagration didn't exist. Sorry, my other phone is unplugged. I was using it for another computer.
It's all right. That's all right. Go ahead.
Nonetheless, there is something. There's something wrong. There's something broke someplace.
Yeah, there is. I think
you've
it's
got,
money.
You've got a government that's whistling a happy tune, saying, you know, nothing's wrong, everything's okay, and
Bob
then you've
Dole
got people at real
shot.
Crisis.
Pardon?
You've got people, Americans, at real crisis, and I'm talking about a crisis where they're not paying their phone bills.
I understand. I'm hanging on by the skin of my teeth.
Same here.
But here's the thing: you don't pay your phone bill, they're going to shut off your phone.
So it works.
But the point is, when you work and you buy into the American system, and all of a sudden you're poor. I mean, where did the term "the working poor" come from? Let me pass by a couple terms to you: the Rust Belt, the X generation, the lesser generation, the hourglass society.
I agree. I've
America?
Said this on the radio out here in L.A. I think it's our overwhelming emphasis on money and not on the simple
There's
thing.
A leak in the American ship, and our wealth, we're the richest nation in the cosmos, and our wealth is going someplace, but it's not going back to the middle class. That we know.
I saw Steven Spielberg and company out here, what I like to say, extort the citizens of California out of tens of millions of dollars so he put his plan here so he could put some people to work here. And God knows he doesn't need the money.
Well, our point is the Patriot
Movement. You know, the rich get richer. I agree with you.
Wait a minute. The point is that the Patriot Movement wasn't caused by wacko citizens and gun-toting militiamen.
You're getting your fair share.
The Patriot Movement was caused by government. Government intrusion.
Well,
government.
I think more people ought to be angry at the greed of business than they should be at the call it the greed of government.
Well, that may but business doesn't come in and kick your door. It doesn't arrest your kids. It doesn't.
I know they do enforce the.
Let me ask you some points.
I agree with some of the things.
Let me ask you point blank.
But God, don't get violent.
Okay, let me ask you point blank. What isn't against the law?
Hello? Give me a badge and I can arrest you for anything.
No, you can't.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You drive on the road, Art, and you do 30, because we had a gentleman that got a ticket for, he turned on his turn signal, but he didn't turn it on exactly 100 feet before the turn.
Well, okay.
We've had people get tickets for 37 in a 35-mile-an-hour zone.
Well, there's a lot of reasons you get tickets. All right, gentlemen, thank you. Look, I'm sorry, but I just really can't follow that at all. There are laws. Yes, you're supposed to signal sufficiently before you make a turn. This is to prevent somebody from bumping into you. Or conversely, it is to prevent somebody coming in the opposite direction from banging into you. Now, I realize it is a letter of a law. You're also not supposed to make what are called rolling stops, which is not really a stop at all. It means you roll up to a stop sign. You kind of observe or think there's nobody coming in the opposite direction, so you don't stop. You keep going. You get a ticket. Tough. Those are the rules of the road. Thank God there are rules of the road. There's enough people getting slaughtered out there right now. You know, if everybody went to court and argued that, well, I turned on my turn signal, well, when the law says you should have had it on 100 feet earlier to protect the lives of either people behind you or people coming in the opposite direction, then damn it, that's the law. And I'm sorry, I don't have a problem with that. Under what circumstances can I not be arrested? When I'm following the law. How about that? See, that's the problem I've got with these so-called, put it in quotes, patriot groups. Everything is taken out to the absolute extreme. Well, there's a reason for the law. There's a reason why you're supposed to signal 100 feet before you turn. There's a reason that you're not supposed to go rolling through stop signs. And in each case, it does not necessarily include just your welfare. You know, I challenge this whole concept of I'm a patriot. I don't have to follow the laws of this land. By God, they're not constitutional. Why should I signal 100 feet before I turn? I am a law unto myself. We are a law unto ourselves. We don't have to do that kind of thing. It's not constitutional. If I want to roll through stop signs, I'm an individual. I make that choice because I am the law. What a bunch of crap. I'm sorry, but I believe that. What a bunch of absolute, unadulterated crap. There are laws and rules that are made for the safety and welfare of the people that are ministered to by the elected representatives of the people. And you may not like it, but that's the way it is. This is not a pure democracy. It is a republic, a representative republic. And if you don't like it, then don't pick up a gun. Go pick up a ballot. Go find yourself somebody to lobby. Get a bunch of people together. Get some money. Get some power. Change what you don't like. But I can't abide this. You know, I'm a patriot. I make up my own rules. What's a patriot? Well, thankfully, he had at least admitted why you can be a patriot if you follow the rules and pay your taxes. Thank goodness. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Who am I speaking with?
Who are you calling?
Art. Artville.
That's it. You've got me.
Art, how you doing?
Fine.
Yeah, just turn my stereo down. Partner, please listen to me. You don't understand. I'm from California. Were those two last two that you just talked to from California?
What about them?
I can't believe I reached you. I've been trying to reach you for a long, long time. I won't get into about myself. I'm finally getting help. I stayed awake more hours. They were accusing me. Yes, I'm all for the Constitution. Matter of fact, the last few weeks I've been up every 4 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, getting up, reading the book, and studying. I got to take these people, all the way as far as it goes.
What people?
I have a different name for them. They want to act like it. I'm not going to call them. There's one in this city that I know of that I will call a public servant, a police officer. because when I was harassed two times on a bicycle, and now I have my Mark V Continental parked in my backyard because they're trying to steal it.
Who's trying to steal? Wait a minute. Who's trying to steal?
The crooks. I call them the crooks. In this city, it's Shafter County. We've already got T-shirts printed up about them.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Slow way down, all right? Slow down.
Take another.
Slow down, or I will. Sir, slow down, or I'm going to leave the line.
I'm sorry. It's anxiety. I have severe anxiety.
Well, then relax for a minute.
I'm trying.
And we're going to have a conversation, okay?
All right, I'll take one right now, okay?
No, don't take anything. Just tell me what you're talking about. Who's trying to steal your car?
They're trying to take $400 from me right now.
From
the basket case, because they took my Valium from me.
All right, well, goodbye. They took my Valium, they took my bicycle, they took my Continental. I don't know where you were going with that, and it's too bad you couldn't become calm and quiet enough so that we could approach it one thing at a time and find out what you were really talking about, but I don't think you knew what you were talking about, sir. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
My name's Kevin. I'm from Magalia, California.
Yes, Kevin.
And I wanted to say that, first off, are you a person who would advocate the replacing of a government based on law with one based on force and violence?
No.
Okay. Then my question for you is, do you know how the laws in a republic are properly enacted and promulgated?
By the representatives.
Wrong.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh. Here I always thought we elected representatives who then legislated.
No.
Oh.
That is a system that has been rejected by American values and American jurisprudence.
Oh, horse crap.
No, I'm not kidding. If you look at...
I'm not kidding either. Read the Constitution.
I have read it.
Well, then on what basis are you suggesting the American people have rejected this?
On the basis that what you're advocating is called a constitutional monarchy and democracy. Because in this country, the people gather into convention and create enumerated powers for the government. And we have elected delegates that go to convention, and then they come home and live with those laws that they've passed. When we elect these legislative representatives, they go in and create rules and regulations underneath these enumerated powers. And that's what a republic is.
Sir, you could knock me over with a feather. Here I thought Congress actually debated and passed laws that then went to the president and became signed and then became laws. That's incorrect?
Only under enumerated powers. They only have limited scope of what they can do. That was the whole reason why we had the revolution. There was two gentlemen in Parliament named Pitt and Burke who were trying to come up with the consent theory for the British Parliament around 1775, okay? And that was that a government was based on voluntary individual consent.
Voluntary.
And the British Parliament rejected that theory, and they said, no, we have the compact theory. That means that the nobility can get together.
Look, I don't care what they did or do in England.
No, this was the basis of our law. This was the primary reason for the American Revolution, was because we rejected the constitutional monarchy.
We rejected taxation without representation is what we rejected. And that's why we had a revolution. That's why we rebelled against English law. And then we wrote our own constitution. Our own constitution. So forget England. Let's begin at the beginning of what we are now. And we are still a representative democracy. We are a republic. See, this is what worries the hell out of me about what's going on out there right now. There are people running around thinking they are the law. The law is not constitutional. Law doesn't apply to them. They are the law. There's nobody that has any right to tell me that I've got to turn on a turn signal 100 feet before I turn. Screw them. I'm doing it my way. Well, the laws and the regulations, the laws enumerated and the regulations under them, are there for not just your safety, but for the other guy's safety as well. And I happen to believe in them. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Art.
Hey, sir.
Just wanted to say I was glad to be able to meet you up there in Portland.
Well, oh, you came to the book signing.
Yeah.
Wasn't that something?
Yeah. Got a question. What was the attendance there?
Probably over 3,000, but not everybody got in.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of people up there.
I know. I was actually able to sign for about, I think, 2,100 and some odd people. And that had me signing from 12 noon until 8:30 at night, sir.
Oh, boy.
I didn't quit until 8:30 at night. So what the people who got the doors closed on them did not understand, or were the hundreds and hundreds of people that were still inside when that occurred. And that kept me going straight on without break, except once.
Yeah, we were almost up to you. When you took your first break, you had to go out and have a cigarette.
I went down and wolfed down a hamburger, some fries, and a chocolate shake, and a cigarette.
Yeah. My wife made somebody really happy up there. In the book, you gave the photocopy of your picture, and then also she got the little 5x7.
Oh, yes.
She gave somebody the photocopy of it because you signed her picture for her.
Oh, that was nice.
Other question for you. You might remember I had asked you up there. Have you ever tried elk meat or deer?
No.
Just would like to find out if you'd like me to. I was going to get some dry ice and ship you up some.
Really? Where are you?
In Portland.
Portland. And you have elk meat there?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
No, that's all right. I appreciate the offer, but I'm pretty much a hamburger guy, steak, beef in general. Some pork product.
I see. Also, one other question. When is Hellbop supposed to be coming through?
It's about a year away.
Oh, okay.
In early April in about a year. It's going to be lots of comet visitation here. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. This is Sky, New Orleans.
Hi, Sky.
How you been?
Fine.
Interesting night.
Indeed.
Yeah. Just curious. I was going to offer to debate someone else on that homosexual wedding stuff, but it's getting late.
And that was really yesterday, but I'm not. We may return to it. Who knows?
Oh, I'll tear them up. But anyway, what I was going to ask, I'm heading toward your stomping grounds today.
Oh, yes?
Yes, and I was wondering, would there be any remote chance of catching you anywhere and possibly getting a particular book signed?
That is an awkward question to be asking me on the air, and
could you address it off the air? I certainly understand, you know.
Well, what I'll say to you is no. You should have contacted me in the first place off the air. That's all I can say, because anything I say to you, Sky, is said to millions of people.
Oh, completely understood, and they got the wackos and everything else out there.
So, there's nothing I can do for you right now, Scott.
Well, it'll still be an endeavor I'll accomplish sometime.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Radio Free America.
Well.
Say, Art.
Yes.
Listen, you know I love you, man, because you'd never screen your calls, and for that I always say that you have enormous integrity.
Yeah, but otherwise you hate my guts.
No, I didn't say that. I love you, man. You know, in a special kind of guy
In a very special sort of way.
Yeah, listen.
The way people love the IRS.
Right. Yeah. No, not that quite that bad. But anyway. Now, Art, well, you've got to admit, we're living in a country that's become a bunch of barons and upper nobility, and they don't answer to the law. And the best example is what happened down there in Texas.
How did the barons get there?
Well, I think they've got the force of the government behind them, and we've allowed our government to get out of hand. There's no doubt. I mean, when we have such a pitiful turnout here in California, that it's really the people's fault. However, when something like what happened down there in Texas, when the people were absolutely unqualified, they were murdered. They were absolutely slaughtered.
Do you equate what occurred in Texas with what is potentially brewing in Montana?
I don't know. All I know is they were murdered down in Texas. And what I do know is that no one answered for that, and there's still innocent people in jail. And I think that we've really got to make sure in this country that the people that we elect and hold power, regardless of where they are, and that includes a president, if they break the law, they must answer to it also. Or we live in a tyranny instead of a republic.
Right. Listen, Chuck, we're out of time. The show is over, so Chuck from Del Mar, right, Chuck?
Right.
You get the honors. Do it.
Radio free, and good night, America.
That's it. And I'm afraid that's all there is. We must adhere to the clock. From the high desert, good night, America.